This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
When you're on a holiday, you can't find the words to say.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the newest and latest edition of the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation, the website home, placetobenation.com. In just a few moments, our good pal JR will tell you exactly where you can find the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. And in about 5 minutes, we'll have our good pal Mark Briscoe on as our special guest. It is going to be a fun night here as we talk about everything in the world of professional wrestling. And welcome to you here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Boy, it was an entertaining weekend for one and all in the city of brotherly love. That's right, Ring of Honor was in Philly this past Saturday night, a huge national television taping at the 2300 Arena. Which, where is that? What is that? Well, it's at the corner of Swanson and Rittner. Oh, wait, I've heard of a building. Yeah, that's right. It's the refurbed old ECW Arena, which is all changed around and different inside. It looks great. What a fantastic venue, and what a time we had, not just with Ring of Honor, but with the PTVN crew. They were in the house representing. We'll talk about that later on. And I'll share my first experience with Boneheads as well. That was a remarkable time. They've been a sponsor of ours for a long time, and we will talk about them later on. Plus, we'll talk about the rest of the wrestling weekend. It was entertaining, wasn't it? Give you something to talk about, and good water cooler fodder, I would say, for Monday morning when you come in and it's like, hey, did you see that last night? What the hell? We'll talk about that as well. But Mark Briscoe is not only is he a great friend of mine, but he's a Christian brother of mine as well. And he's had a remarkable life. I look forward to talking with him in just a couple of moments. It's he and his brother Jay are unique. They're one of a kind, two of a kind. I don't know how best to describe brothers like this, but just their life on the farm in Sandy Fork to me is fascinating. And they are a very tight knit family. What you see on television is really the way they are. It is, it's a loosey goose bunch. They don't stress out about things too much down there, and they all have each other's back, which is great. And it's built around love. So, I know sometimes it's been tough love between Mark and Jay, and from Big Man as well, their father. But it'll be a unique look inside the Briscoe clan as we get moving through here, Ring of Honor time. We've got a lot of things going on in Ring of Honor. I'm very excited. This weekend we've got Dearborn and Dayton, two big live events on the Winter Warriors Tour. Alberto Del Rio in Dearborn. It's just an entertaining night. Roderick Strong against Jay Lethal for the television title. And Dayton the following night, going to be entertaining as well. Dayton, a great building, a historic site for Ring of Honor. And there will be a huge weekend of wrestling action, which we'll talk about on the next time we're here together on the Kevin Kelly Show. All the information about everything having to do with Ring of Honor. And why are you talking about Ring of Honor all the time? If you don't know, I'm the play-by-play announcer for them. And we have a television show that airs in probably 75, 80 stations around the United States. And you can see it every week as well around the world at ROHWrestling.com. So go and check it out. But we'll talk more Ring of Honor later on because we'll have thoughts about the weekend that was in Philly with the PTBN crew. And we'll be getting our pal Mark Briscoe on here in just a few moments. But right now, we welcome in our producer extraordinaire, Justin Rosero. JR, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
It's good to see you. It was good to see all one and all this past Saturday.
Yeah, it was a good time. We had a blast at the ROH show, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes because if you haven't heard what it went down at that show, it was a phenomenal set of matches, especially the main event. So this is going to be must-see TV when these things go to air, and we'll talk about why in a bit. But we had a really good time, and I'll give you guys props, Kev, because we talked on here. I might have been actually on the PTB show right after when you guys came to Providence. We kind of talked about the show was really long and kind of dragged on. And it seems like you guys have cut down to just doing three shows in a night instead of four. And to me, that helped a lot. It felt a lot more, a little bit more streamlined. It didn't feel like that last, you know, hour dragged as much. It was much more, a better flow to the show.
I think that, yeah, a three-episode night is much better for the fans, a great fan experience, because it you know, it takes a while to get there and to get through the line and to get through the autographs for the pre-show and to be able to enjoy the full night without it feeling like, oh my gosh, please, is this over? Yeah, three is better than four, no doubt about it.
And the crowd, so, too, I want to give them a lot of props, because it wasn't your typical kind of indie smarky crowd that, you know, sometimes ROH and these other promotions get the get crapped on for. I thought it was a really good crowd. They were really into everything you guys had going on. And we were remarking that even though they're in the ECW arena, there's no ECW chants, there's no, you know, Sabu or whatever chants. It was all very focused on the product, which I thought was a testament to what was going on in the ring. You didn't get much wandering, you know?
There was not, and again, everybody stayed with it. They were hot through the main, which you'd love to see. And there was a lot going on that weekend. It was a huge wrestling weekend in and around Philadelphia. Plus, you're there in Philadelphia.
Yep.
So there was a lot to do. But the crowd was great. The matches were great. I loved the venue. And it was good seeing you guys.
Yes, that was very cool. So like you said, we'll talk about it a little bit more in detail.
All right, so that's where you can find us, the Kevin Kelly Show, each and every episode. And joining us now is our very special guest for this episode. I met this young man when he was a teenager. And one of the first times I met him, we had a riot in the state of Delaware. And it's been nothing but trouble ever since. No, I'm kidding. But he's one of my great friends, and he's one of the most talented performers you'll ever see in the ring. He's an 8-time Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion, part of the best damn tag team on the planet. And he's making his Kevin Kelly Show debut. It's Mark Briscoe here. Mark, how are you, my friend?
Hello. I'm good, Kevin. I'm good, man. I'm blessed, brother. I'm just glad to be alive this beautiful cold evening.
That's right. It has been a... all right, so real quick now, when you're not wrestling, because I think a lot of people... I was saying, before I got you on the phone, that, kind of what you see with the Briscoes, the family, you know, you see Big Man, you see Mom... That is you guys and this whole big extended family that you have down there in Sandy Fork. That's all the way it is. You guys all live and work around this, you know, family-owned chicken farm, correct?
Yes. Yep. We got the chickens, and that's a full-time job. And, I mean, I'm not talking 40 hours a week. I'm talking 40 hours a day. It's chickens, they can be a little bit of a pain, but hey, it puts food on the table, and not only does it put food on our table, it puts food on a bunch of tables worldwide, if you know what I mean. Them birds are mighty tasty. But yeah, we also Jay just here a couple years ago, he wanted to branch out, you know, his entrepreneurial bone was itching, and he started up a landscaping outfit, and so that's what we do that, you know, when we do chickens in the morning, and then we do either cut some grass or, you know, we do leaf removal. Today we was chopping up firewood because it's cold as a witch's titty. So
yep.
Chopping up the firewood today. But yeah, man, it's all good down here in Sandy Fork, brother.
And you and I have talked about going into business together in the snow removal business. I'm serious about this. I definitely want to do this with you.
Yep. And man, I appreciate it so much with what you were talking about, helping me out get started. But, you know, thank God that I didn't jump the gun, because so far we've probably got a total of about 2 inches out of, you know, two different snow, you know, not necessarily snow storms, but two little dustings that we've had. We ain't got much so far this year. But look, you know, I say that, and we'll probably get a blizzard, you know, next week or something. But
oh, thanks for jinxing us, Mark. Way to go. Hey, is it still fun wrestling? You still have a good time doing it? It sure looks like you have the best time out of anybody.
Oh my goodness. It's funny because I've always, you know, loved it, and I've always enjoyed it, and I've always had fun, but I ain't never had fun like I'm having right now. And you know why, Kevin?
Why?
Because I used to try and do too much stuff, man. I used to try to do too much shit. Now it's just like, just dumb it down and just, you know what I mean? Let that character shine through and just, you know, slow down. Let the people, you know, be able to digest what they're seeing and don't try to go 10 million miles an hour. And it's just so much easier and at the same time, you know, so much more fun.
Yeah. It's been enjoyable to see that evolution because I saw you guys at the very, very beginning when you just started your professional career as teenagers. And now, you know, here we are. That was 14 years ago, right?
It'll be 15 years in May.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I'm 30, just turned 30, so that'll be, you know what I mean, half my life, half my God-given, natural-born life. I've been a wrestler.
And it's been, and you've dealt with your fair share of injuries over the years. I know, you know, like anybody that sees you on Ring of Honor television each week, they see the knee brace, they see, you know, kind of the nose that's a little side to side and the teeth that aren't where they're supposed to be. But it's you know, each one of those things, I think, builds character. It tells a story.
Yeah. The one that surprised me the most, some people might be familiar with it, some people not so much. But back in 2007, we had a match with Dory and Shingo, two Japanese fellas out in Detroit, Michigan. And I went to do a shooting star press plancha, you know, to the floor, do it, you know, or just that old young and dumb and crazy mess. But I made it about halfway around, and I came down and landed on my head, and they ended up putting me in a medically induced coma for, like, it was, I don't know, 24 hours or whatever it was. But it wasn't good, but I got through it. But the crazy thing was, it was a couple months later, I had a follow-up appointment with a neurologist, and she looked at the CAT scans and MRIs and x-rays, and she said, son, I don't know if you realize this, but you broke your neck at some point in the past, your C-whatever, C4, C5, and seems that it's healed on its own. Did you know about that? I said, no, ma'am.
it's a bit, and I'm glad that you brought up that story, because I put out on Twitter, you know, at hashtag AshChicken, tell me some, you know, give me some questions for you. And one was asked about the time, and I would assume that it was this time, when you were in a coma, as Nanisha says, for 3 days. So, you know, what was, she wanted to know too, what was your family, your brother thinking, how did this kind of affect you? What did it make you do after you realized you were okay and you had the accidental broken neck?
It happened. It was Friday night. You know, we had a double shot Friday and Saturday. It was WrestleMania weekend. It was back 2007. So whatever WrestleMania that might have been, 22 maybe, who knows. But so we were wrestling Friday night, wrestling Saturday night, and then going to Mania on Sunday. And so Friday night, about, you know, 10, 12 minutes into the match, that's when I go for that shooting star, and I don't make it. And the first thing I remember was, you know, waking up on the floor, and the tips of my fingers and the tips of my toes and my tongue was tingling like crazy. And there's a bunch of people standing over top of me, and I just remember, like, whoa, this is, you know, what the world just happened. This is wild. I was like, man, I gotta get back here in the ring. I gotta finish the match. But that wasn't happening. They was already strapping me down to the board. And then I remembered. I was like, man, that daggone shooting star. I didn't make it all the way around. Man, daggone, I hope I ain't gonna die. Because it was so, you know what I mean? Everything was happening so fast, and the medics and all that, they were so frantic that it was like, you know, I was starting to get kind of scared. And they were pushing me out on the gurney, and one of them said, give the fans a thumbs up. And I didn't give them a thumbs up, because I remember thinking, well, actually, I'd be messed up, you know, if I gave them a thumbs up. And then next thing you know, they wake up in the morning, and they look on the internet, and they say, Mark Briscoe pronounced dead at the hospital. So, you know, I didn't want to give them no false hope there with the thumbs up. I should have, you know, hindsight 2020, I should have threw the old thumbs up. But, you know, so they got me back and they took me back and they pushed me in the ambulance. And they're like, we need somebody to ride in the hospital with him. And Jay was still in there finishing the match, you know. So Ring of Honor alumni Sugarfoot Payne, he hopped in the ambulance with me. And we rode on over to the hospital in Detroit there, and I was cool, man. Like when I was in the ambulance, I kind of, you know, I could settle down. I could, you know, I was like, all right, you know, everything's gonna be good. You know, I was praying, I was talking to God. I was like, you know, I know everything's good. I know this ain't it and everything. And so I was cool. By the time we got to the hospital, I was like, all right, they're gonna get me in this room. They're gonna do what they got to do. I'll be good to go. But no, we got to the hospital. They busted doors open, and this man, you'd have thought it was a murder scene. There were people just frantic. You know, come on, hurry up, blah, blah, blah. So come up to this, so come up to that. And as they're getting me from the ambulance to the stretcher, and they're loading me up on it, I'm just like, man, y'all just got to settle down. Please just settle down. And they can't hear me talking because they're all talking 100 miles an hour. And then I'm strapped down, so I can't move. And I was trying my best to tell them, please, just for my sake, just settle down. This is, you know, y'all are making me really nervous. And then they start pushing me down the hallway of the hospital, and all I see is the lights on the ceiling, light, 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 light. And the people, you know, are so frantic and so, like it's such a serious situation. I was like, oh, man, daggone, I thought I had calmed myself down. I thought I was good to go, but now they're acting like I'm about to die, you know, any minute now. And so
now you're getting all nervous because they're all nervous.
Exactly. And so they finally get me in the room, and they're still 100 miles an hour, frantic, and I was like, please, just unstrap me. Let me sit up and breathe, please. And they're like, no, we can't do that. We can't let you sit up. We got the train, you know, we're going to unstrap you. We've got to move you from one board to the other board and to the table, or from the board to the table, whatever it was. And so apparently, I mean, this is what the nurses told me, and this is what they told my brother, and they told my mom. When I was out or whatever, they said that when they unstrapped me from the first, when they got them straps off me, which I had been asking them to do, you know, very politely there, just so I could sit up and breathe, apparently they were trying to manhandle me and put me on the table, and apparently I turned like into an incredible Hulk-like creature and started like chunking nurses across the room. And then I don't know if they hit me with a blow dart or I don't know what they did. They had a high IV in or what, but next thing I know, I'm out, like out. And when I woke up,
I don't know if a blow dart is a medically prescribed way of, you know, calming patients down.
That's how I would have done it, you know. I don't know.
Well, sure. Yeah. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that I don't know if that's the common way that it is done.
Right. Yeah. Well, this was 2007, so you never know. This is a while, while ago.
Right. Yeah, we didn't even have iPads back then. It was, you know, like the Wild West.
Right. Yep. But, so next thing I know, I'm waking up and my mom's there. And so, you know, of course the whole thing happened Friday night. So I'm thinking, okay, it's Saturday morning. And I was thinking to myself, how in the world did you get here so fast? You know, I asked mom, how did you get here so fast? You know, I know there ain't no flights going in the middle of the night, and it seems like it's pretty early in the morning. How did you get out here so fast? He said, honey, it's Sunday morning. I said, I'll be damned. You know, and then one of the first things she asked me, she said, do you have a catheter in? I said, no, I ain't got no catheter in. And, you know, we went on talking, this, that, the other, blah, blah, blah. She went on to, I don't know, she went to get something to eat or whatever. But a nurse comes in, and the nurse says, well, I'll be back in about 5 minutes. I'm going to take your catheter out.
God.
I said, hold up. You know me. I got a tube to my tingling right here, right now, as we speak. And she said, well, that's what we do when we have to sedate a patient and, you know, put them under for an extended period of time. And so she went out in the room to go get prepared to do this, you know, penile detubing. And I looked down at my britches, and I'm a daggone. If I have this flexible, straw-looking contraption going right in my dick hole, And I tell you, buddy, that's a weird feeling there. That's a weird feeling.
It would have, you would have thanked them. Trust me, you would have thanked them, having had surgery once and having had a catheter removed. You'd have thanked them if they would have done it while you were still sedated, because that hurt like hell when they yanked that subject out.
Oh man, it was crazy, because I told my wife about the whole thing, and she was like, "Well, was it? What the nurse look like? Was she pretty?" I'll be honest with you, honey. She wasn't a bad looking young lady. And sure enough, she come back in there, rubber gloves and all. All right, I'm gonna need. Well, I guess I had on one of them robes, but I had on my underwear. She said, all right, I'm gonna need you hike your robe up and drop your britches, and I'm gonna get this catheter out. And I thought to myself, good Lord, this is not good right now, right here. This is not a good thing that's about to happen. And so, sure enough, she gets a hold of the tube, and she gets a hold of the other tube, and oh my goodness, it was such a weird feeling. It was like I had to pee myself, but there was no pee, and it was not comfortable and not pleasant. But what in the world was we? Oh yeah, we were talking about the whole.
I'm thinking in my head, like, you know, people tuned in and they want to hear from Mark Briscoe, and they're probably going to talk about, you know, Ring of Honor stuff and talk about his career in pro wrestling. And we're talking about catheters and dick holes and ding-a-lings. It's just awesome.
So far we've spent a good deal of time on that subject.
Yes. When Nigel started doing commentary with me, he told me a story off the air, which I think we talked about on the air as well, that at one time there was an IQ test given to the locker room, and you placed surprisingly high. And I say surprisingly only because if somebody looked at Mark Briscoe and judged him based upon what they see his antics, you wouldn't exactly say, well, this guy might be the second smartest guy in the locker room. But that was the case, right?
Yeah. I would rate it was good old Brian Danielson, you know, the good wrestling fans today know that Daniel Bryan, he got the highest score on the IQ test. And then it was myself. And then Mr. McGinnis, I believe, placed third. See, but that's all part of the... It's all part of the strategy, Kev. You got to keep them on their toes. You got to keep them guessing.
Did your brother Jay take the test? Was he anywhere near the top?
I don't even know if he made it all the way through the test.
Who got better grades? Who got better grades in school? You or him?
Well, neither one of us really got. You know, the best marks in school, mainly because school was fun, man. A lot of people say, you know, kids, you know, say, man, I don't want to go to school, but school was fun back in Laurel High School was a blast, man. We ain't do nothing. I could go down to the gym at any time of the day. I could just Miss Taylor, I need to run down to the gym real quick. Like, all right, go ahead. Like, it was real. I don't know how in the world I got a diploma, because it ain't seem like I did much learning.
Well, you were there and you were hanging out a lot, so at least they got you on the attendance side.
Right, yeah. I put my hours in.
So report card day comes, and here comes Mark and Jay ambling up the driveway, and both of you, you know, with a backpack full of C's, let's say. What did Big Man say when he took a look at the report card?
Well, Big Man was, we'd probably be more worried on report card day about what Mama Briscoe had to say.
Really?
Big Man was more, when it came to the schooling, you know, and the schoolwork and whatnot, as long as we got our homework done at night, then, you know, Big Man was, if you do your work, if you don't, you know what I mean, if you don't get in too much trouble clowning around, you know, being a jackass, it'd be one thing if it was, you know, all in good fun. But if it was a, you know, a bad report where, you know, Mark got a detention because he did something disrespectful, that's when Big Man broke bad. Like I said, as far as grades, as far as A's and B's and C's and D's, you know, it would be Mom who would be more or less on top of that, where Big Man, he'd be more or less on top of you know, character and, you know,
societal issues as opposed, right. Society, mom's the heel when it comes to the schoolwork though.
right. Absolutely.
Well, so, okay. So the hardest that your dad hit you, the hardest that big man ever walloped you was when and what happened?
Well, dad had this, when we were young, it was always, we always just get, you know, that big old bear paw to the bear butt, you know, just pow, it sounded like a sonic boom going off or something. But as we got a little bit older, you know, I don't imagine he whooped as much past, you know, once we, you know, probably 16, whatever, I don't know what it was, but there when we was getting a little bit older and the hand wasn't cutting it no more, he could tell that we were no selling them hand to the butt shots. He had this board and another board. The one board was elongated, you know, almost, you know, picture like a steak. Say it's something that you would put a sign, you know, yard sale, and you'd hammer it down into the ground.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, like a steak. I could picture it. It's got like a smaller handle, but then it gets real wide at the end.
Right, yeah. And then the other board would be more like, let's say, like a flat piece of like plywood, but maybe just 2x2. So big man nailed the flat piece of plywood onto the stake, and it made, I mean, this thing couldn't even be considered a paddle. This thing was like a weapon of mass destruction. Like, he could grip it like a baseball bat and swing that sucker. And trying to think, the worst I ever got it was, you know, 9 times out of 10, it was just for me and Jay just, you know, fighting, just not getting along, or disrespecting mom, one or the two. But I think it was the one time that we got fighting, we was out in the swimming pool, it was summertime, we was out in the swimming pool, and we got fighting, and he told us to cut it out, and we didn't cut it out, and he told us to cut it out again, and next thing you know, we end up over there, and big man, you know, took us to the proverbial woodshed, if you will. But Jay got it much worse than I did. I ain't even going to lie. I ain't even going to sit here and try to be the tough guy and pretend that I got whoopings as bad as Jay did, because he got them much worse than me, because he was, you know, he just wasn't very well behaved. Well, I'm not going to say he wasn't well behaved, but sometimes the boys just didn't know when to shut up.
Not much has changed.
Not at all, Kev. Not at all.
More they stay the same, right? I tease you guys all the time because I, you know, like, you'll say something and Jay will look at me and go, you see what I have to deal with, Kevin? And then, you know, same situation. Mark, I know what you're dealing with. I see it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's that dynamic that just, and I think then translates to your characters and what we see on television. Just this past week, they had the thing where Jay was talking about having something up his sleeve, and you made the astute observation that he wasn't wearing any sleeves.
He sure weren't.
it's a lot of transition in Ring of Honor over the last few years, and you kind of you guys there at the beginning, and you've been with us all the way through. It's sometimes it's tough to compare eras, but if you're a sports fan, you know, you can compare the Barry Sanders era of Detroit Lions to the Lions of today, for example, favorite team for a second. Yeah. How would you say today's Ring of Honor compares to, you know, the roster, the talent, speaking of the talent roster, how would you say that today's compares to some in the past in 2007 or 2002, well, you know, kind of looking back in 5-year increments? Right. What do you think?
Got you. Well, the way I like to compare it back in 2002, you know what I mean, when we first get started, 2003, even I would say up until, maybe when TNA took a lot of the guys, you know, Joe and Austin Aries ended up going over there, but up until, you know, Chris Daniels, when he first went over there, now he's back, you know, but up until about 07, 08, I guess maybe into 09, it was more like an all-star team. It was like, you know, the NFC All Pro team where you had just superstar at every position. Now, that's not necessarily saying that they're going to have the best team chemistry, whereas now in 2015, we're like, you know, we're a well-oiled machine, more like, you know, like the New England Patriots, whereas I'm not so sure that the NFC All-Star team could beat the New England Patriots, even though you're looking at the NFC All-Star team and you can name every one of them and say, oh, man, you know, he's a superstar. But then you look at whatever team you want to, you know, any well or, you know, the San Antonio Spurs, you know what I mean? Just a team that's been together with chemistry where there's role players where they may not stick out, but they still do their job and they still, you know, make the team that much better. I think the team right now is stronger than it's ever has been. And whereas back, you know, 10, 12 years ago, it was more of a, you know, we have all these superstars, we have all these all-stars. Now it's more about the whole, you know, not just the individual parts. It's more about the body, you know what I mean?
Well, it's been a great ride to see how you have matured and evolved over the years and how you've changed and grown. And you're still just as wild and as crazy as ever. I mentioned about your knee brace. And I did want to ask, we've got time for one more question. I did want to ask, because I said right off the bat that, you know, Mark is my brother in Christ. And we've prayed together and we've shared stories together. And the one story that I did, if you can, you know, tell it in kind of quick fashion, is how the Lord healed your knee. Because that was the one thing, and I'll tell this real quick, because Mark sent me a text one day just kind of out of the blue, and it said, have I ever told you the story of how the Lord healed my knee? And I said, no. He said, well, remind me to tell you that story when I see you this weekend. So, of course, it's the first thing I'm going to say as soon as I see him. Mark, you got to tell me how the Lord healed your knee. So, for our audience that's listening, Mark, how did the Lord heal your knee?
Yeah, all right, well, this was... I had to be 2008. We were over in NOAA in Japan. It was a junior tag league. And they did a junior tag tournament, junior heavyweight tag tournament every year. And it was me and my brother versus Brian Danielson and Davey Richards. You know, and we were in Dipper, which is one of their home arena, or it was at the time anyway. And it was funny because the same match, right at the beginning of the match, Brian hurt his knee just doing some, you know, chain wrestling, some mat wrestling. And then at the end of the match, like the very end of the match, I hurt my knee. I did a shooting star press, and just the impact of my knee on the ring, it popped my kneecap out, and it popped it out so severely. And it moved it so, you know, harshly, you know what I mean, that it ended up tearing the ACL. And when we got back to the States, I wrestled. That was August. It had to be August. There's actually a picture in the Japanese wrestling magazine. It's like Fighting Spirit magazine, whatever it is, the weekly magazine, of me upside down on that shooting star press right, I'm talking about a tenth of a second before I landed. I don't have that magazine, but I know somebody could probably track it down over there. But so me and Brian hurt our knees in the same match. We had a couple of days off, and the next day was a travel day. We traveled to Osaka, and man, my knee was swollen up around like a tree trunk, and his was pretty swollen. And both of us, we went on a. One of the guys told us, he was like, there's a doctor. He was like a doctor, like a healing clinic. I think they called it something in Osaka. And me and him both walked on our bum knees, probably half hour. And we got to this place, and the guy did he did an ultrasound, and he did a little massage rub. And, you know, he just kind of checked out our knees, and he did a little bit of a treatment on them. And the guy couldn't speak English, but he could write, you know, he could understand it enough where he could write just a little bit. And I imagine Brian would probably remember this, but he brought a little piece of paper to me, and he had written on it, "Your injury is worse than he."
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it cracked me up just because, you know, both of us were just laughing just because of how he had read it, "Your injury is worse than he." And so, you know, whatever.
Of all the English for him to know, he had to know that your injury was worse than Brian's.
Right. And so I finished up with the tour, you know, and they got a dude over there who tapes up and does all, you know, she got a doctor back in the locker room, and he did an awesome job of taping my knee, and I could, you know, I could manage. And then we got back and I wrestled through final battle, but I was limping and gimping. In January, I got surgery. They did a double knee surgery. It was ACL and it's called a lateral release, which is something to do with the kneecap to keep it from popping out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And after that was, you know, after I recovered from the surgery, you know, 6 months rehab, this and that, the other, and it still wasn't just right. Like, it was like when I bent it completely, like heel to butt cheek, when I went from heel to butt cheek and I started to straighten it back out, it would crunch. It would crunch as I was going forward. And I went into one of my checkups at the doctor. He was like, "Man, that does not sound good. That is going to require surgery down the line, because every time it crunches like that, it's just deteriorating, whether it's cartilage or meniscus, whatever it was." And so,
every time you're squatting down in the chicken house to pick something up, you're hearing that crunch, crunch, crunch all the way down, all the way back up.
Oh man, it wasn't the full extent all the way down, all the way up, but I mean, it was, you know, every time it was a quick little, it was, yep. Man, like, it was just annoying. Like, it didn't so much hurt as it was like, man, this sucks, man. Like, I'm going to have to get another freaking surgery, probably going to get a knee replacement, whatever, you know, just bum me out. And so, you know, that was 08, I guess. And I know exactly when it was, because it was 2010 when me and my wife got together. We weren't, of course, married at the time, but that's when we got together. That's right when I had really got back into church. And, you know, a couple years later, whatever, one of my brothers in church, good brother Mark Smith, he was telling me, like, "Man, I had a dude pray for my knee, and it was hurting, and, you know, it's good now." I was like, "Hey, man, you know, I believe God can do anything. You know, that's what I need." And he was like, "All right, well, Sunday at church, you know, we're going to pray for your knee, and that crunching is going to be gone." And I'm like, "All right, you know, cool, whatever." And I'm thinking, you know, okay, in my mind, it's okay, at the end of church service, we'll go up there, and a couple of the brothers will lay hands and whatever, pray, and blah, 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 and, you know, hopefully it works. Well, that's not, you know, that's what I had in mind. That seemed reasonable. That seemed like the way that they would go about it. But that ain't what the Lord had in mind, because we was sitting in church. The pastor, he was, I remember he was preaching, and it was powerful, you know, he was a real good message or whatever. And right in the middle of the church service, the pastor took a break for, you know, 5 seconds just to take a breath. And the dude, Mark Smith, that I was talking about, he was sitting all the way across the church. He said, Mark Pugh, do you believe, you know, that's my shoot name. You know, he said, "Mark Pugh, do you believe in the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ?" I was like, "What in the world?" I said, "Yes, I do." I'm talking about, this is a church, you know, 100 people. It ain't no huge church, but there's 100 people in there, and it just comes out of nowhere. He said, "Do you believe in the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Stand up and receive your healing." So I stood up, you know, just being obedient or whatever. My wife was sitting to the left of me, and we were married at this time, because I'll never forget, it was 8-12-12, August 12, 2012, and she kind of wrapped both her hands around that knee, the left knee there, and kind of hugged up her face to my knee. And the pastor, he just right away just went into a prayer. He's like, "Lord, I don't even know, you know, I'm not saying this is what he said, but he didn't know it was my knee." Because my brother Mark, he just said, "Stand up and receive your healing." And the pastor, he just said, "You know, Lord, we pray for a healing for me, you know." And next thing I know, it's like, I'm just overwhelmed. And I just, like, I was so, you know what I mean? I was so high, you know what I mean? So high in the Holy Ghost, even if I had a bullet hole in me, I wouldn't have felt it. So So at first I didn't realize, I didn't really realize much. It was just like, whoa, that was cool. That felt really cool. You know, it was so overwhelming. And then we were riding home, and me and my wife, who was taking two of the youth group kids home, we dropped them off and stuff, and I was still had that Holy Ghost high or whatever, and I bent my leg, and there wasn't no crunch. I was like, man, that's crazy. And it wasn't like, boom, brand new knee, like everything, nothing hurts, nothing's weak. Like this, it's still, to this day, this knee and this leg is not as strong as the other one, because I had 4 years where I was favoring it, but I tell you one thing, it don't crunch no more.
Wow.
It's not deteriorating, is not going in the wrong direction no more. That was the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me personally. And it was less than a month later, my second daughter, Mariah, she was born. She had colics real bad. So she, I don't know if anybody listening or whatever has ever had a kid with colic or been around a kid with colic, but she didn't sleep for more than a half hour at a time throughout the night, every night.
Ugh.
And me and Brittany were getting no sleep. We were like zombies every single day. And so I was like, man, if God can do that with my knee, then why can't he take this colic? And I called my brother Mark. I was like, Mark, man, we got to pray for this baby. We got to get this colic thing, healed up, situated, because I'm tired of walking around like a zombie. And sure enough, man, that was Wednesday. We went there that night, the Wednesday night service, me and Brother Mark and Brother Ray and my wife prayed for the baby, and she slept that entire night. And from then on, she's been, she sleeps more. I ain't never seen such a sleeping baby. She'll sleep until 11 o'clock in the morning, and then she'll take a nap from 3 to 6, and then she'll go to bed at 9. Like, it's crazy. I've never seen such a sleeping baby. Not that she still ain't a pain in the butt, but...
Well, of course. That she's making up for all that lost sleeping time. And you got another on the way?
Yeah. I got three girls right now. I got a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 9-month-old little girl, and I got a little boy on the way, Kev.
Oh, praise God. That is awesome news.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mark Jr.'s coming, and it's crazy. Me and Matt Hardy and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks, Matt
yep.
Jackson, all three of us got little boys due in June, so...
Wow. And in 18 years from this June, ladies and gentlemen, they could all be making their Ring of Honor debuts in the state of Pennsylvania, because you got to be 18 to wrestle in PA. Well,
I found that out the hard way.
Yeah, right. Well, listen, Mark, I got to have you back at another time, because we just really began to scratch the surface. There's so many more things to talk about. You're one of the most... First, you're one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Like, you're my brother in Christ, and I'm proud of you, and I pray for you every day. And I love you, and I think you're an awesome professional wrestler and an awesome man. And I want to have you back. We'll talk about more stuff at another time.
Absolutely, brother. I appreciate it so much, man. Thanks for having me on. And, man, I'll be talking to you soon. I'll see you this weekend.
That's right. See you in Dearborn and in Dayton coming up this Friday night and Saturday night. And no shooting star presses, okay?
No, sir. I have put that one on the shelf, my brother.
All right. That's Mark Briscoe, everybody. We're going to take a brief time out. We'll come back with more fun stuff here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Okay, we're back. We continue. The march is on towards the big game this weekend. I know we'll give some NFL thoughts a little bit later on. We got to get our Super Bowl predictions in. But, of course, it was a big weekend for wrestling in the city of Philadelphia. Saturday night, Ring of Honor. And then Sunday. Oh, and also, by the way, too, before we get talking about the Rumble, congratulations to our pal Jim Ross, a guest on the Kevin Kelly Show. Had two fantastic sold out one man shows, one on Friday, one on Sunday. My buddies Matt Ryan and Court Bauer worked very hard. Sam Roberts, they all worked hard to get this to get these events sold out. They did fantastic. Jim was great. The feedback that I heard from people was it was amazing. Great opportunity to meet him. And if you ever get a chance to see one of those Jim Ross live events, make sure you do so. He talked all about it when he was on our show. And the archive of the Jim Ross interview, along with all the archives, including our most recent interviews with Dennis Stamp, that's right, Dennis Stamp, and Kerry Silken, available in the Kevin Kelly Show page right there on placetobenation.com. So congrats to JR. And boy, a lot going on Saturday. Everything seemed to be good. The fans were happy. On Sunday, JR, you were there in the building. Not so nice by the end of the night, huh?
Oh, that crowd was so hot, too. I mean, we were really, really pumped. And you want to talk Rumble first, or you want to do Ring of Honor and then get to the Rumble?
Well, give me your quick thoughts. Now, this is I've seen you at, what, one other Ring of Honor show? You've been to, what, two, three others?
I've been to – I mean, I was at one way back in 05. So the modern era, I've been to four now. So I went to the one WrestleMania 29 weekend.
Yep.
Which was a Supercard of Honor. Was that that one?
Yeah.
Yep. When Jay won the title. I was in Providence for that really good show where we had the All-Stars versus Champions match.
That's right.
And the Hooligans versus Red Dragon, I think, for the titles.
Yep.
And then last year in Pittsburgh and this year in Philly.
Pittsburgh
for the Rumble.
Yeah. And this year in Philly. Okay, so there we go. Good show, great show. The crew was there. Give me a quick rundown of who all made it and what they kind of thought.
Okay, sure. So for ROH, it was myself, my crew there. So it was Roger Morissette, Andrew Flanagan, Charlie Houle, Dan McGinn, Brad Woodling was there, of course. Who else am I missing? Mark Poirier, ROH's biggest fan. He was there. God, I know.
And Scott was there.
Oh, of course. Scott Criscolo, Anthony Armentano. I think I missed a couple more. They're going to kill me. Just let me think about it for a minute. Oh, Jay D'Amato. How can I forget my man D'Amato? Anyway. Couple more that I know were there, and I'm just drawing a quick blank.
Well, you'll pull their names out.
Aaron George. Aaron George's buddy Ivan were there, of course. And Aaron was memorable because he was on the aisle and he was just like getting really into it and like yelling at the heels and cheering on the faces. And he got into it with QT Marshall a couple times. But everyone loved the show, and everyone, I think everyone admitted that the main event, which is the six-man tag. We won't spoil anything, but I think it's announced, right? So we can at least say what the match was. It was AJ Styles and the Young Bucks versus...
Cedric Alexander.
Yes, it was a long weekend. I'm sorry.
Cedric Alexander, ACH, and Matt Sydal.
Yes, Matt Sydal. So, I mean, more than one person I heard leaving that arena, including everyone in our group, said it was the greatest match they've ever seen live.
That's fantastic.
And, it was phenomenal, and it, no pun
you know, and no spoilers, but obviously, the reaction that AJ and the Bucks got was remarkable.
Oh yeah, and that was after a long show, like you said, and by the main event, everyone was super into it. I mean, just really into it. Even the stoners that were standing next to us being assholes, everyone was really into it, and it was a lot of fun. You know, a really good time, and the energy brought was really good, and I thought it was 100 times better than the Pittsburgh show last year. And I think that speaks to the roster, to the, you know, the backing that like Sinclair and Joe Koff have put into it over the last year. I thought last year at this time you guys felt to be in a little bit of flux. Some guys on their way out, some guys on the way in. I thought Chris Hero didn't really click the way they hoped he would. I think AJ Styles with the Bullet Club has been really, really good versus just AJ coming right out of TNA. So I think you guys are a much bigger place than you were last year when it was kind of the, you know, Elgin show with Steen on the way out. And I like Elgin, but I like him in this role better.
Yeah.
So
I think you kind of hit sort of the nail on the head. Just guys have found their right spots.
Right.
And everything and the energy collectively seems to be very, very positive. But I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what's next. So then you transition there.
Hold on. I didn't even get to talk about Maria.
Oh, Hachi Machi. Oh, I got a text from you. I didn't see that text because I was like, you know, you texted me, hey, you're going to come see us during intermission. Yeah. And then I didn't see the other text until today when I reached out to let you know Mark was confirmed. And I'm like, oh, man, I missed this one. Hachi Machi.
Well, Brad and I went to go, you know, use the bathroom quick. And we were kind of just lingering in the lobby, taking a picture with the guy dressed like Ric Flair. And she goes running by us to use the bathroom, like in her wrestling outfit. And I was just like, oh, my God. So that was just a melt to me moment. Also, by the way, very attractive in person is Noelle Foley. Now, I know a lot of people say she's attractive and then, you know, see her on Twitter and you follow her. She's, you know, fun follow and everything, really into the business. And then you see her up close and just, I mean, just stunning.
I was telling my wife that Dewey and Noelle were at the show on Saturday. And they're adults.
Yep.
And that's all you need to say. It's like, dude, they're little Dewey and Noelle.
Yeah, they were there. They were there
when they
talking.
Were kids.
Because Brad was waiting to talk to, you know, we were laughing because it felt like we were almost stalking her because we were hanging by her. But that's because mm-hmm. Joe Koff was talking to someone for like 20 minutes. And Brad just wanted to introduce himself, you know, CEO to CEO and say hi. And so we're laughing. We're like, we're probably the only two people standing near Noelle looking to talk to Joe Koff and not her. But there we were. So that was cool seeing her up close and personal there as well. So very, very nice crowd between Maria and that back to back. But yeah, a lot of fun. If ROH comes to your town, please go see it. It's definitely worth checking out. I'm not just saying that because we're, you know, Kevin's the voice of the show. We had a blast. I think anyone that was with us will tell you the same. And again, that match, check it out when it's on TV because many felt it was the best match we've seen live.
I think it's on Valentine's Day weekend, so that'll be a good way to treat your girl.
Yep.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think I'm no. When is it?
No better Valentine's Day party than a super kick party, right?
That's right. I think so. But anyway, because you'll see how it happens. Okay. But anyway, a lot of fun that night. So then you transition. Did you go get just stinking drunk after the show? What happened?
Yeah, we went and had a few drinks. We hung out, did some male bonding. So it was a good time. And then I went back, passed out, got up for the free breakfast on Sunday at the wonderful Embassy Suites. Had a great, by the way, best shower in a hotel I've ever experienced was at this Embassy Suites.
Really?
Strong flow.
That's a is a huge requirement. Yep. It's so funny you say that because I learned that from Cornette. That was kind of like, how do you gauge a hotel's, does the air conditioner work, and does it have good water pressure in the shower?
Tremendous.
And that's really all that matters.
And also the day before Saturday, Chris Jericho was down eating the free breakfast with us, so that was cool. Good to say hi to him.
Yeah?
Very nice guy. Very nice guy.
I heard you were stalking him, too.
No. Not at all. No, we didn't, actually. We left him alone, and then I happened to run into him by the elevator, and I just said, Chris, you know, I said, hi, thanks for your years, and then he started talking me up, so it was cool. I didn't have to even, you know, put the pressure on or anything like that. So
he took a picture with you as opposed to you taking a picture with him?
Well, when I told him that I was the producer of the Kevin Kelly show, he jumped. He said, yes, okay.
He threw up his free breakfast and ran out screaming.
He's like, oh, God, that guy? Get a tan.
I hate that guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, then we headed to the Rumble. We had really cool seats. Our buddy John D'Amato was able to get these, like, club seats. They were up kind of near the Titantron, so technically they were considered obstructed view, but, I mean, we weren't obstructed at all. We were the front row of this club box. It was easy access in and out. We had our own little personal bathroom. We had a little bar up there.
Those are the best.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Really cool group that we got to watch the show with. And, again, the crowd was super hot throughout the whole show. The Triple Threat, Kev, title match to us was kind of like, oh, man, we're talking up the six-man for Ring of Honor as the greatest match we've ever seen live, and then we get this match. So a lot of us have them neck and neck at this point, just for different reasons. But I don't know if you got to see this match yet. I know you have the network now. Okay, what'd you think?
I thought it was amazing, wonderful, incredible. Cena would never make a ballerina, you know what I mean? He's
no.
Very clumsy and, you know, just his move. And I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yep.
And he's more clumsy than ever. But Seth Rollins was there to more than pick up the strength. And I just absolutely love Brock Lesnar. I think
he's
what
so
they
good.
Do, the way they showcase him and the way he wrestles now is so perfect. And he's undeniably unbeatable at this point. Absolutely no one can beat him.
Right.
So he's not going to be the kind of guy that's going to take a side headlock on somebody and is going to get shot off the ropes. It's just not going to happen.
Nope. He's going to club you. Germans.
Right. He's going to German you. He's going to club you. And you're going to have to drop a house on him to hopefully even get a two count. So I just think it's fantastic. And when somebody finally does beat him, it will be amazing.
Did you feel Rollins was believable in that match as far as, like, did you buy into he had a chance to win? Did you feel like he elevated himself and he was a believable main event person in that match?
After the elbow drop, at first I wasn't sure. At first I thought he was just bump dummy and was just going to be the one to get knocked off. After he hit the elbow drop, everything seemed to really kick into gear.
Mm-hmm.
And the faster that it went towards the end, the more I realized this guy is just, he's a main eventer. He's an absolute main eventer. There's no doubt about it. And I was glad to see that everything happened in that match the way that it did. He's an inevitable world champion, I think.
Right. I think the only thing that maybe hurt the drama was everyone assumed Brock was coming back and not going out on a stretcher. So I think that's the only thing that maybe hurt some of those near falls in between. But even with that, they were still pretty close.
There was, I thought the idea of taking the title off of Brock but not beating him was more perhaps appealing than maybe having Brock lose the title at some point. Excuse me. But the way they did it was just fine. So that's what I kept leaning towards. They actually hooked me in at the end because I was like, he's not getting up. This is where they're going to switch the belt.
Right.
I thought I was down to Cena and Rollins, figuring Cena was going to win. And as it was Brock, and it was fine. So
how great was the spot where Brock caught Rollins in the F5 off the top rope on that dive?
Absolutely ridiculously, freakishly strong. And the margin for error on something like that is so slight, so subtle. But he was able to maintain his balance. One thing that I don't know why Rollins does this, if he means to do it, or he's got to stop doing it, I think, is turning when he took a German and he turned.
Oh, yeah.
And he landed square on his shoulder. And then I was like, ooh, maybe he was trying to turn out of it and pancake and it didn't work. And then he did it again at the end of the match.
I feel like he was doing it on purpose to sell that Brock was really chucking him and like to make it look devastating. Like, I feel like he did those two on purpose for some reason.
He should not do that.
No,
if not. That's the case,
it was cringe-worthy.
Don't throw yourself on your shoulder. No, because then it's surgery and you're out, and it's never right. So tell him from me to stop, please. Okay.
Okay, we'll do. And poor Cena. How many Germans has this guy taken since August? He's fucking done with Germans. I'll tell you that.
Right. I know.
Dumped on his head in these matches.
Exactly. There's a joke there that I really just can't tell. But anyway, so
dump in German, something like that.
With so much emphasis, though, on the... Okay, so the World Heavyweight Championship match was great.
Right, so we're flying high at this point. We're like, oh my God, what
man.
A match. And now the Rumble,
I'm in the club,
Daniel Bryan.
In the club seats. This is great. We're going to be partying on Broad Street after we get done here. I'm going to go use my own bathroom here in the club seats. And then they start, here comes the Rumble. And
I thought it started well.
Yeah.
I like the beginning. The Bubba Ray got a big pop for his
that
return.
That was great.
The one thing they missed, though, they did the what's up head drop, but they didn't say what's up. And R-Truth's
right.
catchphrase is what's up. Like, it would have been perfect. How did they miss that? How did he not go what's up and then R-Truth say what's up? I thought that's why they were doing the spot, and then they didn't do
it. Isn't that right? That was why they did the spot.
No, they did it because R-Truth happened to be black. But it,
No, that's unfortunate.
But yeah, why not do the what's up? I don't understand. But anyway, yeah, he got a big pop. That was a really cool moment.
I was hoping that it was going to that Meanie was going to be a part of the event. It had been rumored, and as soon as I saw Bubba, I was kind of like, "Oh, they're not going to do two ECW guys." But
well, they did the Boogeyman. They could have gotten an ECW guy instead. I mean, what the hell is Sandman doing? You know, they couldn't get Sandman to come out instead of Boogeyman.
I thought Boogie was fine.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like you have this one chance. You're in Philly. The ECW fever was kind of hot that weekend. With you know all the rumored going on that Bubba was coming back, I thought they could have maybe done one of the ECW guys.
Was Bubba rumored? I didn't remember seeing that anywhere.
The Dullies were rumored, yeah, because there's rumors that they were going to be in the Rumble and then maybe go to the Hall of Fame this year.
Ah, it was I think the less that they do ECW is fine with me.
Yeah,
but having Meanie there would have been great because they had already done the. the special with him and Stevie Richards and,
right.
and Joey Styles.
And
so,
they're doing another one too, I think.
Yeah, but and you know, my pal Blue Meanie, I saw him Saturday night. He looked great. He's dropped a bunch of weight. He looks healthy. He's training at the Monster Factory. He's doing a lot of good stuff there. So I liked the Bray Wyatt stuff.
Because it kind of reminded me of like Austin in 97, where he's chucking guys out. He's checking watch. He's cutting the promo. Or like Punk, I think it was 2010 or 11 when Punk was
I had Kane in 02 in New Orleans. Bray Wyatt. I had drawn number 5 in the Royal Rumble pool, courtesy of our pal Steve Corino. So I was looking good. I didn't think he was going to win, but I figured, well, at least I'm in it. You know, right. I'm in the conversation here because I got Bray Wyatt and he's chucking dudes out.
Yeah, and I thought up until that point when they did the Wyatt family thing with Harper and Rowan, like I think we're moving along nicely. We're chugging along. Things are going well. Daniel Bryan comes out around, I think it was like number 11 or so. And it's like, okay, he's not so early. He's not so late. It's still believable if he hangs. He's kind of an Iron Man type of guy. And I had said all along, I think we said it right on the show, if Bryan was not going to win, he shouldn't be there near the end, right? He should go out early. So the guy tossing him, you know, the crowd, I may have been a little bit, they did it, but I made him a little bit of wrong. Then it completely pissed everyone off for a while.
Yeah.
Bryan, the problem there with me and Bryan is they didn't even use him to like build to like elimination teases and stuff. They just dumped him. So they didn't even get to cock tease the crowd at all with him. Like they didn't tease a bunch of eliminations and have him survive. And he was basically like, you know, Hercules in 1991 had a better run than Daniel Bryan had this year. You know what I mean? Like, he was like Shane Douglas in 91, just tossed out.
I thought there were a lot of lackluster eliminations.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There was no memorable moment like Kofi. There was not.
Well, the Kofi one this time was kind of, I mean, you kind of knew it was coming where he got thrown into the rosebuds.
That was cool. Yeah, I'll give you that one. I can say this. I did enjoy watching it on the network.
Yeah.
Through the Roku device that I have connected to my TV. The feed was spectacular. It looked just like if I was watching it on pay-per-view. And although I could have done without the announcers just throwing up stats that had no meaning or content. I mean, they did because they applied to the guy. But even they had stats for Bubba Ray. I thought it was a surprise.
Right.
That made no sense to me at all.
Pull it up on Wikipedia, Maggle.
We got it right here. So there goes Daniel Bryan. And okay, well, it's happened early. They'll forget about it.
Nope.
They didn't forget about it.
And the worst part is they didn't do anything where it was screwy. So it was like zero hope that they could do anything to get him back in or to turn it around. I mean, he just got thrown out. And it was like, you know, it's like they did it just to get him the fuck out of the way because they knew it was going to be bad after. And it didn't get better. Like, there was parts where the crowd didn't die. It wasn't like Pittsburgh last year where the crowd just died at the end when he didn't show up.
Yeah.
They stayed into it because they still cheered certain things and they, you know, DDP got a nice, you know, whatever, different stuff. But
DDP did great.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked good, hitting all the diamond cutters. I took a video of him for my mother-in-law, sent that over to her. She was all thrilled.
There you go.
But, the crowd I thought was into certain things, but they did not want Roman Reigns to win that match. And it's funny because Reigns was the guy last year that everyone latched onto when Bryan didn't show up and they didn't want Batista to win. And now a year later, Reigns is the guy everyone hates, and all of a sudden, freaking Rusev is the guy everyone's behind. Like,
yeah.
Everyone thought maybe he was going to sneak in the ring and dump Reigns to win the match, and may they call an audible.
Boy, I think Rusev is just rotten.
Well, I like him.
Oof.
I think he's good.
Lana's a fellow FSU alum.
She is. She's a
she. She is. Yeah, I know.
Rusev.
It was gruesome at the end, and they wanted
Kane and Big Show just dumping all the like that was like Vince is pissing on all the fans, like, oh, you like Dolph Ziggler? Kane, pick him up and throw him out. You know, like it was like everyone we liked was just getting carried to the freaking ropes and dumped to the floor.
What did Vince say? Now he came up to your club seats, I understand. What did Vince say after the show was over? What did he think about everything? What did he tell you?
It was great. Roman Reigns, just is who I like. What a beast! Don't worry about that midget. And listen to these other idiots, all these stupid fans. I know what's best. That was basically it.
That was it.
Give me some popcorn.
And now let me ask you this. Oh, gosh. I can't think of his name. It's just escaped me. I'm sitting here thinking of the question.
The Warlord.
Not the Warlord. No. He didn't get eliminated.
No.
Perfect's kid.
Oh, Axel? Yeah, he didn't get tossed.
Yeah.
He never made it to the ring.
So he never made it into the ring.
Yeah, I think that's a precedent. If you don't get in the ring, it doesn't count. Like, if he got in the ring and went out the bottom and then never came back, then maybe you could have a beef, but he never entered.
Why did he never enter?
He got beat up by Rowan.
Oh, okay.
Because Rowan wasn't supposed to see the match. And then, of course, rumors circulated Saturday night that Rock was in town. And like idiots, we started getting our hopes up for all different crazy wild scenarios. Oh, maybe Rock will win the Rumble and face Brock at Mania. Or maybe he'll cost Brock the title and they're going to do something different, blah, blah, blah. And then it kind of dawns on us. I think it was Ben Morse on our Place of the Nation staff page mentioned, well, what if he's there just to validate Reigns, come out and raise his hand, and we're like, oh, God, that's it, and it's going to be awful. And there it was. So Rock comes out, helps Reigns win, and just gets booed out of the building, raising Reigns' hand at the end. Just not good. I mean, The Rock is a tough cookie because everyone loves The Rock, but he's someone that fans are willing to turn on in the right scenario, and this was it. Like, they don't mind booing The Rock if they have to.
This was it. How do you think they... All right, so what's the go forward?
Well, I think they... I mean, that... Coming out of that night, we were like, they ruined like five people with this one match. All right, so Ambrose is back to being kind of a joke. And... Ziggler wasted. Daniel Bryan, who could be your bridge, right? He could be your guy in between. He's hot. Why not let him eat the time up until Reigns is ready? And now you're kind of killing him off even more. Because fans are going to stop believing that he's going to win anymore after last year, which we've talked about on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you took a big dump on your future plans for Reigns. Like, I think if this is the guy you want to be your next megastar, you did him zero favors. Like, you really hurt him with this. Because now people just hate him. And it's not even his fault. None of this is his fault. He's just being pushed. I mean, he's only had one singles pay-per-view match. And now he's main evented WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar. And he's going to beat him.
I didn't even think about that. That's right.
He's only fought Randy Orton at SummerSlam. That's it.
Wow.
And he's going to beat Brock Lesnar, the guy you've built up as unstoppable for 2 years. Unless he's fighting Triple H. that's who you're going to have win?
Poof. All right, so let's talk quickly. So did you see Raw? What did you think about the way they handled that?
I thought that was good. Like, it was actually kind of refreshing. I think it helped them that they got snowed out because it got the crowd away from Reigns for a night. And I thought the interview at the end was very good. Like, Heyman is just a master. I mean, just a master. Like, he is quickly climbing the ranks of, like, all-time greatest promo in wrestling history to me.
Mm-hmm.
To do it, did you see that, his thing? At the end of Raw?
No, I saw clips of it.
Okay, it's a must-watch if you can track it down. I mean,
yeah,
must-watch.
I gotta find it.
Masterful. Like, he took this feud that nobody wanted to see. Nobody wanted to see. And I saw people on different blogs and sites being like, fuck, I kind of want to see this match now. Too bad it's, 9 weeks away, but the promo he did was just wizardry. I mean, he talked about the history of the Samoan family and how he knew the SWAT team and Fatu and Yokozuna before they were stars and managed them and were in their corner and knew the right, like, all this stuff. Just so well done. And Brock is just sitting there, leaning back with this shit-eating grin on his, smirk on his face the whole time. It's just perfect. They're, like, such a perfect combo. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Reigns did fine too in that scenario. He delivered his promo with some conviction and it really put a lot of interest in that feud. Which way would you go with Reigns? Would you have him go full Goldberg from Hitlemania or would you do some sort of injury and take him out for a few weeks to get him away from the cameras and let Heyman do all the talking?
I'm conflicted about that. I see both sides. I see the idea of, I think they're going to segue too with Sting a little bit. I kind of got that feeling based upon that one promo that I saw.
Well, he's definitely fighting Triple H at Mania. I mean,
I know that, but where Heyman came up to Steph and Triple H and said, you know, your problem, Sting, whatever, blah, 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 right?
Yep, so maybe Hunter hires Brock to beat up Sting, and that sets up the Mania. Maybe Brock beats him up at Fastlane when they have their face-to-face.
I think so, yeah. I think so. And then you could maybe use Sting to help Roman Reigns a little bit.
Or I'm curious if Rock, if they didn't piss him off enough, because the rumor is he wasn't very happy with what they did.
He looked so annoyed at that interview when he was walking backstage. I watched some of the post-game, too. He looked so annoyed when What's-His-Face started asking him questions.
Yeah, rumor is he's pissed, like really pissed. Yeah.
They do a good job, I think, those young announcers.
Yeah, they're all very good.
I like the mix. I liked
Renee.
What's her
awesome.
Face?
Oh, she's so good.
Very good with the questions. I wish her voice was an octave lower.
Yeah, you're more of a Susan Wallman guy.
A more of a Michelle Beadle.
Okay.
Sound.
She's really good though. Really strong.
I agreed.
She does a good. You should check out NXT. She does the commentary for that.
She's doing play by play.
Yeah.
Really?
Or play by play slash color. They're all kind of. Chip in, but she's on the show. Yeah, she announces the whole show. She's really, really good.
Good. And I liked the way my buddy Sterling James Keenan has made the transition there. Corey Graves, good for him. And Booker, I like Booker. Booker gets a bad rap. I think he does a fine job.
He's better than the King.
Oh, agreed. God, Lawler just JBL offered nothing to me on the broadcast, mm-hmm. only because all he did was read those stats.
Yeah.
Which
he's,
I got.
He's had such a fall. Like, he was so good back in, like, 06 and 07 when he was with Cole. Mm-hmm. But since his comeback, he's just hasn't been nearly the same.
I was proud that Carino and I, segueing nicely into a self-serving plug, Carino and I finished fourth. Carino finished fourth. I finished sixth in the best announcer poll mm-hmm. in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. How about that?
I voted for you.
Thank you. No, you didn't.
Of course I did.
I was very... I was very surprised to see that, and pleasantly so. I was proud of Steve, and you know, we followed behind, or we finished behind Regal, who was number one.
Yeah, well, he's awesome.
He's awesome. A couple of MMA guys.
Oh, they don't count.
They don't count, right? And a Japanese announcer.
They don't count either.
There was an MMA guy in between me and Carino, Joe Rogan. So the top two were Regal and Joe Rogan. And then the Japanese announcer, and then Steve Carino, then another MMA announcer, and then me.
I'm saying you guys have a lot of respect. I mean, I heard more than one person in the ROH crowd say how, like, oh, Carino should be doing Raw, Kevin should be in the big time. I mean, seriously, multiple guys I heard talking about that, how Carino belongs on Raw instead of King and Booker and stuff like that.
Well, that's flattering. We're very proud of what we do, and we look forward to doing more of it. So... All right, we got to take a break, right?
Yeah, I think that was all I wanted to talk about for Mania. But the Reigns stuff, I don't think it did any favor. The Rock being flown in last minute, though, hurt. Oh, that's where I was going with it. Do you think Rock will be, and we'll talk about Mania in a little bit, do you think Rock will be in his corner, or do you think he's done for a bit?
I think he's done
will
for
it hurt
a
him
bit.
To be in? Will it hurt Reigns to have Rock in his corner at Mania?
I don't know.
To offset Heyman or whatever.
I guess it depends on what they do on the road to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I think the summation of this is, do you think that we jokingly did the Vince thing there. Do you think that they regret the way things worked out, or are they in control of everything?
I don't know. It's hard to say because, yeah, I think it worked out the way he thought. I think they expected, you know, that there was going to be a shit reaction, but they said, screw it. We're going to stay the course. We don't care what this one crowd thinks, and this is what we think is best. We want Reigns to be our guy. We want Cena to taper off, and this is what we're going to do. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be the right thing or not. If I'm them, I'm trying to extend Brock Lesnar's contract, and I'm having him go over at WrestleMania.
I'm like, please, Brock, please.
I don't think it hurts Reigns at all. I don't think it hurts Reigns at all to lose
Agreed.
To Brock at WrestleMania.
Agreed. And I love the idea. And I love the idea for Rollins. Like, oh, well, he shouldn't cash in Money in the Bank now because there's no way anybody's going to beat Brock Lesnar.
Right.
I think that's so great because now it's the perfect cover for him to hang on to the thing.
Well, you could even do where he's like getting panicked because he's running out of time, and Brock is the champion, and he's like, "Shit, I'm running. I have." And so, like on the last night, he has to challenge against Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean, or something like that, where he's just because he's forced to do it at like the Money in the Bank pay per view or something like that.
If he wins, could you imagine that? If he's finally the guy to beat Brock on the last night,
can he be though? Like, see, this is the problem. Our buddy Roger, who's just a big like combat sports guy, MMA, boxing, you know, and he's been a wrestling fan on and off all his life, and he's really into it now. But he's like, his whole beef with Bryan winning the Rumble and beating Brock is like, I can't believably watch Daniel Bryan out wrestle Brock Lesnar and defeat him for the world title. Like to him, it's mind boggling, and I feel like Rollins is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like of all you've seen Brock go through, can Seth Rollins believably beat him? And that's why I think they think Reigns has to do it, but I don't know. I just don't think Reigns is ready.
I agree. All right, so we'll have a break in a few minutes, and we'll play a game, and we'll talk some more stuff about Ring of Honor. We'll do trending stories in a couple of moments, but we do want to give a quick shout out to everybody in Place to Be Nation, right? We talked about that and some of the good stuff that's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, PlaceToBeNation.com, always good stuff. We're about to start round four of the 90s tournament. Going to be down to 64 songs. So,
by the way, concert coming up. Would you buy tickets to this? Would you attend to the? Would you attend the show featuring? And it's an outdoor show at Hershey Park Stadium.
Okay.
It's New Kids on the Block. Nelly, Salt and Pepper, TLC, and one other 90s group. Oh, Sugar Ray. What do you think?
Can I just give you my credit card number now?
You want to go?
Do I want to go? That sounds amazing.
Tickets on sale this Saturday, I think.
Head down that Hershey Highway.
It's a it's right near me, so I'm going to be going to it.
Oh yeah, I want a live report here at PlaceToBeNation.com from Kevin Kelly about that show, and all your other stuff too. Of course, the movies of the PTBN Generation series came to an end, and they're doing a tournament with all their picks that had won throughout that series. So check that out. All our podcasts, brand new series, The History of Wrestling with Graham Cawthon. Last episode was their first episode, and they looked at the history of wrestling at the Meadowlands as that building is set to close. They're doing Royal Rumble history tonight, so look for that over the next couple days. Our buddies over at the Main Event podcast, led by Scott Griscolo and his roundtable, breaking down the entire Rumble weekend and where things are headed to Mania.
Then Scott having a breakdown. So.
Well, he got to see the Triple H 18-wheeler outside the Rumble, so he was in all his glory.
Yeah. Was he crying or emotional? What was he doing?
He was wet from the rain because it was kind of rain and snow.
It was very damp outside.
PTBN NBA Team Podcast, the best NBA podcast in the world, did a great episode. Now, that's what I call 90s, more 90s stuff, with Ben Morrison, Blake Garris from Marvel.com, joined Andrew Reich to talk about 90s hoops and their experiences growing up during that time frame with their favorite teams and hated teams. So a lot of fun if you're a big 90s hoops fan. Check out our Royal Rumble 2015 reaction show. Our buddy Will from Pro Wrestling Only was joined by Dylan and Dave from Wrestling Culture, Johnny Sorrow and Pete from Titans of Wrestling, and Chris Zellner as they walked through the whole show and broke things down in quite in-depth fashion. So that's a must-listen, as always, each and every month here at PlaceToBeNation.com. As I mentioned, Graham's shows as well, the Main Event crew. This week in 90s Wrestling, Kevin, one of our favorite installments here. Every week, Charles Williams is here with videos highlighting matches and promos and big moments, behind-the-scenes things, from every day throughout the 90s. So every Sunday this goes out. And he goes day by day through the week. So like on last Sunday, January 25th to the 31st went up. And it is awesome. Like he either links you to the match if it's on the network, or if it's something that's not owned by them, he embeds it right there for you, promos. So we're talking Japan. We're talking USWA, Memphis, WCW, WWF, ECW, everything. He goes through day by day. Everything, all the big stories from the 90s, memorable matches and moments. So it is like one of the best reads you'll find anywhere on the internet.
Now, and tell me it again. Tell me the name of it again.
This Week in 90s Wrestling.
Wow.
It is. I mean, when I tell you, if you're a wrestling historian like you, Kev, this is a must-read column. Must-read. So check that out.
I mean, I mean, Memphis wrestling history last night. I've got the Mid-Atlantic, you know, Gateway bookmarked on my. I love all that history stuff.
Oh,
Kerry Silken and I share. He takes pictures of old wrestling posters and he sends them, you know, on Twitter.
Well, you should shop that link around to some of those guys in the locker room. I know there's a lot of diehard historian fans in Ring of Honor, so I'm sure they will enjoy that. So check it out. I sent you over the link. And also, make sure you check out the PWO PTBN Roundtable, the 100 Best Matches to See Before You Die, Part 1 is up now. So that's got a plethora of tremendous guests as well, well-respected wrestling historians and students taking part in that series. So PlacetoBeNation.com, your one-stop shop for all your place-to-be and pop culture needs.
I had the pleasure, and I mean pleasure, of enjoying some bone heads, wings for the first time.
Oh, man, I know. It's like you told me not to worry about it with the snow.
Yeah.
You told me not to worry about, traipsing through Philadelphia with them.
I know.
But as I got step by step closer and closer with that box in my hand, and I almost ate some. I almost gave some away. I said, I'm this far. Kevin Kelly, we got to get you these wings. So we stopped Friday night because we ended up leaving Friday night to avoid the snow on Saturday.
Right.
And so we had like just a monster amount of wings in the car. And then I built you a little sampler off of that. So I believe you had Down on the Farm, which is the Buffalo Ranch.
Yes.
You had Melt With You, which is the mac and cheese.
That was tremendous.
I think Wrong Side of the Road, which is the Honey Sriracha. That's their award-winning one.
Was there a little citrusy one there, too?
Oh, that was, Orange Crush. That's what it was.
Wow.
Yes.
Dude,
that's orange soda they make with that.
First bite of that, it just hits, and it's like, wow, that's really orangey. And then I'm talking to somebody, and it's like, hey, that was kind of hot.
And, you also have Mr. Roboto.
Up on you and what now?
Mr. Roboto was the spicy teriyaki, but go ahead. Those are the four you had.
I did enjoy the I did have Dan Tanaka try the Mr. Roboto. He enjoyed that, the referee. I gave some to ACH. He gave the thumbs up and then was surprised when he came back later and said, man, those were hot. What? I said, yes, it's a real sneaky heat, but God, they were good. Now you had, and let's put it in proper context, everybody. So these bonehead wings were bought in West Warwick, Rhode Island.
Yep.
Driven, about 300 miles to Philadelphia?
Yep. We purchased them Friday evening. I picked them up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. I didn't get them until Saturday at 6 o'clock.
And they had been in a car, they had been in a hotel refrigerator, and then carried through Philadelphia to a bar, and then over to the ECW arena through Jim Steaks. I carried this box everywhere. So they were not, as ripe and fresh as they could have possibly
been. No, and they were fantastic. Like, when I first opened them, I was like, oh, man, well, I'll try one bite. Hey, they're really good. Wow, they're freaking awesome. So, shout out to Boneheads. Thank you very much. And how do we find Boneheads online?
They're on Facebook. If you just do Boneheads Wing Bar, and that's the one in West Warwick, Rhode Island, they're at boneheadwings.com as well. You can get the full menu there. And if you're in the area and you want to try them out for the Super Bowl, you have to get your order in now because they are filling up already. And they have so many orders coming in that they're slotting you with a time, right? So, they have the specified menu. And they're telling you what time you can come get them. And the way they're doing it is they're not cooking the sauce on the wings. They're giving you the sauce separate in little containers with another container to shake the sauce on for you. But they do this so the sauce doesn't sit on the wings for 6 or 7 hours if you pick them up early. So
sure,
I got my order in now. I'm picking up at 5:30. I got a good slot because I called first thing this morning. And I'll be having my wings for the Super Bowl. So I'm very excited.
That's 1.5 billion wings will be consumed
yes.
For the big game. And the majority of them will come through Boneheads. So there you go. Great job. And I also had a conversation with a good friend of mine. He said, don't mention my name, but trust me, he's a very influential guy in the television world. And the reason why he didn't want his name mentioned is because he was very proud of the fact that he finally got rid of cable. And he works in the TV business.
Nice.
He cut the cord. He said he had a big tangle of cords behind his television set.
And that was it? Cut them all with a knife?
He wanted to straighten them out. So he unplugged everything. And then he straightened them all out, fixed all the cords, and he plugged everything back in, and his cable box took a crap. So he said, you know what? If I've got to replace this cable box, I'm not getting a new one. Went on the phone, troubleshooting with the cable company, blah, blah, blah. Hour of his day, shot. guess what? You got to come in and get a new box. He said, guess what? Come and pick up this box. I'm done.
Yep.
Cut the service. Now what does he do? Now what does he do?
He goes to get rid of cable.net.
Go to, and I seriously, because he told me this, he had done this on Thursday, so he only had like a couple of choices. He really didn't know what to do. And I said, go to getridofcable.net and look there, and they will walk you through everything. They will show you what is available. They will talk you down off the ledge if you're nervous. And he was nervous. He was proud of himself, but he was nervous. And this is a guy that works in television, folks. And he's doing this now. He was like, do you think I could get in trouble? I said, no, you're not going to get in trouble. Nobody's going to care.
Right. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right. But again, that I was able to, in the span of, because that was Thursday night, and then I saw you Saturday night. So within the span of 48 hours, I got to tell somebody about getridofcable.net, and I got to enjoy Bonehead's wings for the first time.
Big weekend.
I was really happy. I really was. I was looking forward to this segment of the show tonight because I wanted to talk about getridofcable.net, and I definitely wanted to talk about Bonehead's wings.
There you go. So we'll let
Bonehead's
Matt know.
Wing
let...
Bar on Twitter. You've got to get there. Bonehead's at Bonehead Wings.
Yep.
So singular on Twitter, Bonehead Wings, but the name of the place is plural, Bonehead's Wing Bar.
Yep, in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and soon to be a satellite office, Fall River, Massachusetts.
By the way, Ring of Honor is going to be coming back to Providence.
Oh, finally. When?
Yeah, I don't know when, but we're getting TV back there.
Yes. Oh, good. That's good to hear.
And so we'll do a live event there. I don't know when all of that's going to happen.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You can have them hot.
I'm going there. Are you kidding me? I'll be, me and King Carino will be there. Forget it. We're not going to be ringside. We're going to be at Bonehead's.
Nice. Well, we'll make sure we get a table, a front row for you. Settled in.
That's
now
it right
take
there.
Care of us all.
All right. So we've got some time now because, you know, we're going to play a game later on, which will be a lot of fun. Everybody enjoys when we play the games. But one of the things that everybody, I think, enjoys the most is a segment that's called Trending Stories. Now, it's a unique, sometimes perverted look at the world, but always with an eye towards a laugh. And we never get too serious about our things, but we share our opinions here. And Trending Stories, sometimes we just do three. Sometimes there's a bonus story, but it's always a lot of fun. And it begins with the first. It begins with Trending Story number one here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation.
Will there be any tossing salad this week?
And now, the news the whole world is talking about. It's time for Trending Stories right here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Hey, Kev, there's a monster on the loose, but let's hope it's not in your pants because this does not sound like fun. A British company named Oxitec, sounds like something out of Spider-Man, is planning to release genetically modified mosquitoes into a fragile environment of the Florida Keys. The company wants to use the Keys as a testing ground for these mutant bugs. Even though the local community in the Florida Keys has spoken, we even passed an ordinance demanding more testing. Oxitec is trying to use a loophole applying to the FDA for an animal bug patent. This could also mean these mutant mosquitoes could be released at any point against the wishes of locals and the scientific community, and we need to make sure the FDA does not approve this patent. Nearly all experiments with genetically modified crops have eventually resulted in unintended consequences, such as superweeds, mutated and resistant insects, and collateral damage to ecosystems. A recent news story reported that the monarch butterfly population is down by half in areas where Roundup Ready GM crops are doused with ultra-high levels of herbicides that wipe out the monarch's favorite milkweed plants. Kev.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of genetically manufactured and modified mosquitoes?
Yes, I am. This is the beginning of so many. This is the worst plot device ever in how many, bee horror movies. They start with good intentions, but it's evil scientists doing this for a buck. And they wound up releasing these things into the population. And then we're all dead. Forget it. Listen, genetically modified crops are one thing. They're horrible, right? The bee population is in serious decline because of GMO.
Right.
My wife is like big time, like anti-GMO. And they're bastards. Monsanto, screw them. You know, you can't even sue them now. So, we could spend hours. I could just spend hours talking to, you know, you and what would be left of this audience, because they would all run scared, just run away, because I'd become such a zealot about the way the government controls things and the way things like this happen. And we have less say and less power than we think. So I hope it doesn't happen, but it probably will. And who knows what's already out there. But anyway,
what'd you do if you woke up?
Genetically modified mosquitoes.
I'm sorry, what'd you do if you woke up and it was a genetically modified mosquito, just like whatever, you know, wake up, you're taking your morning shit, and it's just sitting there on the counter looking at you on the sink.
Hey, yeah, it's sitting there, and you know what he's doing? He's shaving. He's using my razor.
Yes. It's all the testosterone they're pumping into him.
Exactly.
And he's like,
hey,
crazy.
What's up?
Hey.
And I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing?
He's like, hey, what do you think of Roman Reigns?
I like Roman Reigns, but...
Man, you better like it. Roman Reigns.
All right, take it easy, mosquito. Who said it was okay for you to use
I'm
going to
build my own army of mosquitoes to make sure everyone likes Roman Reigns.
So it's Vince McMahon that's in charge of this, that's behind this army of GMO mosquitoes?
If Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar, that means he can beat Cain Velasquez as well. He's a beast.
That's tremendous.
Why do you think Sting is here? Setting up the mosquitoes. It all comes full circle.
I love it. It's awesome. All right, so be on the lookout for genetically modified mosquitoes.
Where's the king?
They'll be walking around with a strut of a billionaire.
Yes. No chance in hell playing as the mosquitoes fly into the house.
5 o'clock shadow and booking plans for WrestleMania.
Suit. Pinstripe suit on.
Pinstripe suit. All right.
Staring
so
at their daughter insect tits.
I told you, but wait a minute now. In the movie version of this, like, Noelle Foley is cast as
No, she's
right?
Really nice to be Stephanie McMahon.
She has, no, but she could, it's an actor. She'd be an actress. She could do that.
No.
We should get her on the show.
Go ahead. I think she'll do just about anything PR related from what I've seen on Twitter and YouTube and stuff. And not in a bad way, but I think she inherited her father's flair for self-promotion.
I think that's great. We got to try. We'll try to line that up.
Across as creepy, though, please. We don't need another
Maria
situation.
No, my God, I knew her when she was a little girl.
That's even creepier.
Like at the Royal Rumble when he got his skull cracked in? Or was that Rock Bottom? When they did the I Quit. Yeah. When they did the I Quit match.
Yeah, it was in Beyond the Mat.
That was in Beyond the Mat. I was like standing next to the camera.
We can do a Dennis Stamp. You know what? We can just reenact. We get Jake on. We'll just redo all of Beyond the Mat right here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
That would actually be really good.
Right? Just the dramatic reenactment of the movie.
I think we're going to have Dennis Stamp when Ring of Honor goes to Amarillo, by the way.
Nice.
I got to line that up. And he got his Pro Wrestling Tees shorts.
I saw that, yeah.
Store set up. So good boy.
Happen. Yeah, good
boy. That's all because of us. Thank you.
All the poems.
Anyway.
All right, you ready?
All right, so that was the first trending story. But there's more. There must be more. This is the second trending story here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Chef John Brown. Law enforcement officials aren't too happy with the Google-owned Waze app, which can be used to warn drivers and police in nearby. At a meeting at the National Sheriff's Association conference earlier this month, a group of sheriffs raised concerns that the app could be used for stalking police officers. Waze, a social traffic app available for iOS, Android, and Windows devices, allows users to report on traffic jams, accidents, and other commute problems. They can also report the location of police officers and radar-based speed traps, which are highlighted with a police officer icon on the map. During the meeting, officers point to the Instagram account of a man who shot and killed two NYPD police officials in December. The man posted a screenshot from Waze to Instagram with a caption that threatened police. However, investigators don't believe the app was used for the attack because the shooter dished his phone a couple of miles from the murder scene. Have you heard of Waze, Kevin? If so, do you use it?
I don't use it. I had heard about it. I read the story about it the other day. And my first thought was, why would any citizen want an app like that out there? Because part of the way that police do their jobs to keep us safe is by being able to be not detected and not followed, to be able to sneak up on the bad guys. I have no problem with them getting rid of this app. I think that technology is great, but the, like we talked about in the first story, the unintended consequences of something like this needs to be brought, needs to be, you know, kind of discussed and talked about. You can have the greatest thing in the world, but if it's going to wind up hurting people in the process, then it's not. So let's take a step back and really look at this thing and figure out if there's a way to kind of modify some of the, you know, coding in the app to where it can still be useful to people, but doesn't put police officers in harm's way.
No, I love the app. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
And I'll be completely 100% honest. I never thought of the negative effects of the stalking police officer thing. So, but I feel bad about that.
But you also don't have that kind of mind.
Right.
You know, you don't think like, you know, putting a, you know, making a shank out of a bar of soap.
Right, but I feel bad
that your mind.
I've been promoting and pushing it like with all my friends because I like it for the, like I use it all the way to and from Philly and it was great. But I didn't really think of that whole thing where it's pretty much just telling people where officers are. But, I mean, on the flip side, if you're trying to find a police officer to do something nasty, I mean, you don't have to drive far. I mean, it's not like they're hiding in a building and we're telling you where they are. I mean, they're right in the freaking road.
I know. It's a, again, the only people that would be concerned, and I always say that, like, why do people get so concerned about, you know, illegal searches and things like that? Only if you have something to hide. Now, I understand the fact that, yeah, we have a right to privacy and things like that, but I have nothing to hide. If a policeman said, hey, come here, you, I'd be like, okay, what do you need? You know, whatever question they ask, I would answer politely and say, yes, sir. And thank you. And that would be it. And I wouldn't run into any hassle. So did you ever get busted?
That's why I prefer the Mountie. I mean, well, no, I got pulled over on prom night and my car got searched, even though I had nothing going on. I think it's because I was, you know, 17 or 18, driving around at 3 a.m. or whatever. But that's the closest I've come to.
I got popped, I think, 6 weeks before my 21st birthday, having just bought beer in a convenience store.
That was different in the 50s.
Shut up. And so we walked out, and they didn't card us. And it was a notorious spot where everyone underage could go and buy beer.
Yep.
In Stuart, Florida in 1985. Wait. No, 88, because I was 21. So anyway, walk outside, cops right there. Oh, shit. Hey, you guys have ID? No. You're under 21? Yeah. All right, come on over here. So I think we had each bought a six-pack.
Yeah.
And it was, he says, I'm going to write you a citation, et cetera, but I'll, or I could arrest you, but I won't arrest you if you give me some information now. Okay. Did you buy the beer inside? Yeah. Did the guy ask you for ID? No. Do you have a fake ID? No. And I didn't. And I'd given him my wallet and everything. None of us had fake IDs. All of us had
IDs. That,
well, what was I supposed to do? I answered the question.
You sang
honestly.
Like a canary. Pasty white canary.
Damn right. I answered the question honestly. Did he ask you for an ID? No. He saw me come out of there having bought beer. I was already busted. So somebody tipped him off. We walked into a bit of a sting. That was the reason
why. Mosquitoes.
See? It was those damn GMO mosquitoes, even back in 1988. That was a long time ago. My God. What a good year for Crockett. All right. More trending story. And trending stories continue now with another. Because what we've done is not enough. We need more trending stories in our life. Here we go. Take it away. Trending stories on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So seductive.
Yeah. One, two.
We got problems, Kev.
What?
Thousands of Rolo, Cadbury, and Toffee Crisp lovers in the U.S. have signed a petition protesting a lawsuit that threatens the importation of British chocolates into the United States. As a result of a lawsuit brought by Hershey in August, your stupid Hershey, yeah. Let's Buy British Imports has agreed to stop importing popular British chocolates to the United States. and that includes Rolos and Cadbury eggs. While Cadbury won't completely disappear from American shelves, it will be chocolate manufactured only by Hershey, which has a licensing agreement to market products made in the U.S. under the Cadbury names. The Hershey recipe has a lower fat content, a less creamy texture, and British chocolate fans insist an inferior taste. The news isn't likely to affect American consumers who buy their Cadbury cream eggs from supermarket chains, which have sold the American recipe for years, but lovers of the British variety are incensed. Due to legal action by the so-called chocolate maker Hershey's, we can no longer import the real Cadbury chocolate from England. Tea and Sympathy, New York's shop specializing in British goods, wrote on its Facebook page. They want us to sell their dreadful Cadbury approximation, but we can't in good conscience sell you such an awful chocolate. We have made our reputation selling the yummy, real English stuff. Where the hell's Willy Wonka when you need him, Kev?
I don't know.
Need some gobstoppers.
I love it. You lose! You get nothing!
Good day, sir!
Good day, sir!
Take your Cadbury egg, the Americanized version, and shove it up your ass. Do you like Cadbury eggs? What's your take? Cream egg, regular one?
I despise them. I don't like them at all. I think, again, people like what they like, but people also like to fight about things.
Yeah,
they like
true.
To complain. And
I
if
like
there
the,
is...
I just like the anger. Your shit American version. Give me the
British
version.
How, first of all, how dare you? Why don't you come here to Hershey and say that? You know, to each his own. It's something for people to complain about. And when you own a shop called Tea and Sympathies in New York, guess what? You're going to complain about British chocolate. So I'm not sensing a global crisis, although I hate when things change in food because, you know, of legal stuff. This is a legal thing, so
yeah.
That always stinks.
Do you like Peeps? Or are you out on Easter candy altogether?
No, I'm good with candy. I'll generally have one Peep a year. And Peeps to me, like, we'll get there close to Easter, and I'll be like, oh, Peeps. And then I'll have one, I'll be like, oh, Peeps, you know, when it's all kind of stuck.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, I had my Peep, I'm good. And then next year it'll be like, oh, Peeps, what do you think?
I'm not a Peep guy. I don't mind the Cadbury eggs. I like them in, you know, sparingly.
Yeah.
The pastel M&Ms I get down with for my Easter candies.
Oh, that's good.
And chocolate bunnies, always good. And jelly beans.
Yeah.
I'm a big jelly bean guy.
I do. Now, are you a solid chocolate bunny or a hollow chocolate?
Solid. What the hell? I mean, hollow is useless.
I don't know. There's both are good.
Yeah, I mean,
nothing...
it's fine. It's just thin pieces of chocolate. I'd rather have a nice big solid rabbit.
It's a now. Would you ever eat rabbit?
I have.
Have you really?
My grandmother always made it for Easter growing up.
Really? I never knew anybody that made rabbit for Easter.
She made ham and rabbit.
That's
not bad.
Funny.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah, it's no big deal. It's
I mean, everything
very
she makes
good.
Is like awesome. So she could cook whatever: snake, ox. You name it. Oxbaker. You name
Ox
it.
Oxbaker.
And
genetically modified mosquitoes on the side.
And she's 94 and still like cooks. Like my daughter at age 3 now, like gets to experience her homemade cooking and like loves it. Like she'll go over there. She's been going for, you know, since she was born. My dad will take her over there for lunch and like eats like crazy over there. So it's cool that like a fourth generation has gotten to.
That's fantastic. At 94, God bless her, she's still up cooking and doing everything now.
She can't see. I don't know how she makes these things, right? So, she'll just have these days where she just makes a whole bunch of stuff. And every now and then, you know, the levels are a little bit off. So, one time instead of paprika, she used cinnamon on chicken, which was a little odd. You know, she'll forget the salt here and there. So, you know, it's slipping. But, I mean, when she's on, she's still on.
Now, is she of Italian heritage?
100%.
Okay, so I would imagine, like, what, pasta dishes and... Pasta vazzuola and bragiole. What are some of the Italian things that she does?
Well, the chicken and potatoes were the best ever. Pasta was awesome. I remember going over there as a kid. We used to go like every Sunday, and her and her sisters would be making homemade pasta. It would all be hanging in her basement, which is just phenomenal. All kinds of soup, lentil soup, egg drop soup, pasta fagioli, like you said. Just anything, no matter what she made. Her meatballs are awesome. She uses all different kinds of meats, just like anything. And I have friends listening to the show that have eaten her food and will vouch for her. Like, Scott loves it when he comes and if we go over there. Just a masterful, masterful chef.
I'd like to meet her. I don't know if I could stick around long enough to
well, if you come, to if they enjoy come to Providence Sunday dinner, this year, you can meet her. I'll bring her a ring of honor. She won't be able to see anything, but I'll bring her down. No, she's
I'd like to meet her and just I think you ever seen it? It's kind of a cheesy show, My Grandmother's Ravioli.
I have not.
It's on not the Food Network, but the sister, like the cooking channel.
Yep.
Mo Rocca is the host of that, and he goes and he talks to old people. And it's just, and he gets their whole family story, and they teach him how to cook what their specialty is. It's one of my all-time favorite shows because it's just old people doing things the right way. And it's kind of the theme, you know, respect your elders and do things the right way like your grandparents did.
And she still lives alone, which is nuts, too. So,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know how she's doing it. She's crazy.
Yeah,
it's good. And she, just still top chef.
That's great. That's really awesome. So, yeah, we got to go over there. We got to check out what's on the menu at Grandma's.
You're going to have to come in a day early or something for this Providence show. We got a lot to do.
I know.
I can show you the WCF Arena. Brad Woodling's seen that one.
The what?
We'll talk off air about that one.
Okay. It'll be, yeah, because there's a lot of things to do. Like the last time I was there for serious like hangout time, like I had Junkyard Dogs.
Yep.
Which I think is gone, right?
Well, Spikes is still there. Spikes Junkyard Dogs, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
They still exist, yep.
Oh, okay, good. And, we got to hang out with Brutal Bob and see my buddy Sean St. Ange at 212.
Yep, and maybe we can even have Maria come by.
Your neighbor now.
Yeah, she lives in Providence. Sean St. Ange, I think I know. I don't know him, but like my friend in high school, she was really good friends with him, and I remember her talking about her friend Sean that liked wrestling, and that was his last name, so it must be the same guy.
Got to be the same guy.
Yeah.
He was a student of Bob's, got into pro wrestling.
Yep.
Chris Venom, I think he wrestled as, and hung him up a few years ago, and he's now a personal trainer and tremendous at, I forget the name of it officially. We always, it's 212.
Yep.
It's there right there by you.
Okay. Are you ready? It's enough reminiscing.
I'm ready. Do we take a break?
No, we got one more.
You mean there's another trending story? I thought that was it. We have an extra one? This is fantastic. All right.
Now, Kev, we've used this song before, but usually it's for a reason, and this is a reason that the song I'm Fat needed to be used. In recognition of America's insatiable craving for chicken-like food products and frankenfoods...
Oh, I know what you're going to say!
KFC! Is resurrecting its stomach-turning, bunless chicken sandwich, the Double Down.
Bite your tongue.
The monster was first introduced in 2010, but its availability in the U.S. has been limited over the past few years. KFC's parent company, Yum, apparently ran out of ideas for weird things it could dare Americans to eat after unleashing a pizza crust made of cheeseburgers, the Taco Bell waffle taco, and the fried chicken corsage. Besides, they're the honor bound to fire back after Domino's launched a pizza with chicken instead of crust. The Double Down will be back April 21st, at which point you'll be bombarded with Double Down Dare campaign as Yum executive feast on actual food cooked over a pile of burning money and giving each other high five. So you sound like a Double Down fan, Kev, so sell me on the Double Down.
It is perhaps the best sandwich of all time. Because instead, first of all, if you've ever done Atkins, other than the breading on the chicken, it's amazing.
And then you die like the guy who created Atkins.
Okay. He got hit by a bus. Right. But I think that's amazing. Now, I saw another KFC thing with the hot dog in it. Did you see that?
No.
Imagine a hot dog bun in the shape of, that's what I thought you were going to talk about. A hot dog bun made out of chicken breast.
With a hot dog in it?
Cradling a hot dog.
Oh.
And not just any, you know, run-of-the-mill, pop it in the microwave for 30 seconds, Frank. This looks like an all-beef, you know, one that's going to repeat on you for weeks. This thing looks, my wife looked at this, she was like, get out of here. All we looked at was the picture. She's like, that looks like the most disgusting thing ever. And I was like, where do I sign up?
Well, I think that's something you should videotape for the website right there. You eating that.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
By the way, I had my first legit cheesesteak this weekend.
Oh, really?
And I had two of them.
Where did you go?
Well, Saturday we went to Jim's.
Jim's?
It's in, I don't know, some main street with a bunch of bars. We went to Paddy Wax Bar, and it was near there.
Okay.
And Jim's is good.
I know three. I know Pat's, I know Gino's, and I know Tony Luke's.
Tony Luke's is where we went Sunday before the Rumble, and Tony Luke's was amazing.
Yeah.
Jim's was solid, but Tony Luke's was phenomenal.
Pat and Gino's are across the street from one another.
Okay.
And both are very good. I prefer Gino's.
What's your number Pat's one, though? Is Tony Luke's your number one?
Well, Tony Luke's is pretty special. Pretty darn special.
It was good, man. I gorged on those pickles while I was waiting.
That's awesome. I didn't get a chance to get over there on Saturday because the minute I got out of the truck and walked into the building, I was doing stuff.
Right.
And I never got to get over to Tony Luke's.
I would have brought you one. Well, I already lugged the boneheads.
You already brought one meal. I didn't, you know, and again, I shared the wings like with Dan Tanaka, I think, had one, and ACH had one, and I had two or three, and I think the cameraman guys had a couple of bites, and before that, before we knew it, it was over. But cheesesteak from Philly is, man, it's off the chain.
Well, our buddy Mark Poirier, who flew in from Hamilton, flew out of Buffalo, was from Hamilton. He had one with us Sunday before the Rumble. He had like a 7:30 flight on Monday. He went to Tony Luke's at 6 a.m. and got another cheesesteak before getting to the airport. Yes.
That's insane.
He wanted to have it. Our buddy, little Mark Poirier, who is the highlight of my weekend whenever we get together for these things. He's the man. So
that's great. Well, we need more KFC in our lives, and we could get Double Down.
I'd argue
happening
we need
soon.
But go ahead.
It's fine. Absolutely. You don't want to eat them all the time.
No.
But I think that's fantastic. All right. So we've got to take a quick timeout, and we've got one more segment of business to do here on the Kevin Kelly Show. We've got a game to play, and we'll wrap it up. It's the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
All right, we're back. All the action, fun, and excitement of the Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. The website, placetobenation.com, and you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean. You can find it everywhere, basically, at your corner store. And probably in a KFC very, very soon. Now, JR, you had a good time in Philly. You enjoyed your Ring of Honor experience on Saturday, Royal Rumble experience on Sunday. I understand there was a story with you with Bad News Barrett.
Yeah, there was. So we were
supposed Wait a minute, did you get into it with him?
No.
Did you argue about the Cadbury thing?
No.
What was going on?
Right, yeah, I know, right? I'm sure if I knew at the time, I really would have given him some shit about it. But he... So we were supposed to stay over Sunday night and come home Monday, which I was actually looking forward to because I feel like all these weekends we're always going to run out or get up early the next day. So we were going to sleep in Monday, take our time. And, of course, this blizzard all of a sudden was set to come in. So we actually drove back to Rhode Island right after the Rumble Sunday night. So we get in the car and drove back overnight. And we stopped at the Meadowlands rest stop, the East Rutherford Vince Lombardi one there. And Vince Lombardi. And... So we're inside, and I'm going to take a piss, and Roger comes over. He's like, I think Bad News Barrett's in line at Burger King over there. So I was like, oh, really? That's cool. So I go over, and it's definitely him, big, huge, tall guy, very slim. And I look down at my shirt I'm wearing, Kev, and I'm wearing my brand-new Barbershop Window Papa Shango Voodoo Child shirt. So it's got Papa Shango's face, and it says Voodoo Child on it. And I'm like, this is meant to be. Because I don't know if you know the story or not, but Bad News Barrett's a big Papa Shango fan. And he always tweets every year for the Rumble that Papa Shango may be in town. Papa Shango may be in the Rumble. He heard a rumor. And he had just tweeted it that day. So it's meant to be, right? So he had bought a salad. He's getting his napkins and condiments. And I just kind of walk up to him. And I'm like, Wade, said, I really don't want to bother you. I know it's late. I said, but I just had to show you my shirt, and I wanted to get a picture of you pointing at my shirt. And he, like, popped big time for the Papa Shango shirt. And he's like, oh, that's awesome, mate. So we take a picture, get one of me and him, then Roger takes one with him. And he chats us out for a few minutes. It was nice. He asked us where we're from, and he told us, he gave us the breaking news that SmackDown was probably going to be canceled, and ended up being Raw that was, but and that they were driving up there anyway. So it was really cool, really, really super nice guy. Took the time to chat with us for a few minutes, even though it was 12:30 after the Rumble, and he was trying to eat a salad. And just a really, really cool guy. So I just wanted to tell that story. And so if you ever have a Papa Shango shirt and you run into Bad News Barrett, be sure to go say hi.
He will seek you out, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it was quite a weekend for you, because you got to see Chris Jericho at breakfast.
Yeah.
You got to see Maria Kanellis going to pee.
Yeah.
And you got to see Bad News Barrett enjoying salad at the Vince Lombardi rest stop.
And I got to see Kevin Kelly.
What a weekend.
Eating wings.
Dude, that was...
Did you see in your post-orgasmic wing moment?
It was so nice, and... I tell you, it was great seeing all of you guys there.
Mm. Well, he gave you a standing ovation when you came out.
You stepped on my line about Scott. He just was sitting there in his chair like all miserable.
Well, all right, here's the thing. I'm going to take the bullet on that one. So, you know, I have a habit of busting him up for being old, as you may or may not know. And this is like, there's been many times before where he's dozed off at things. And I'll take a picture and post it on the Facebook page of Place to Be Nation. So I happened to catch him in like the 6 seconds that his eyes were closed or in between matches. And I took a picture and put it up on the Facebook page.
You jerk.
And it just got to him. And so when you came over, it had like just happened. So that's why he was all pouty and he was pissed at me. So we talked it out. We hugged it out like men, and we were good to go. I gave him an in-person, a text apology and an in-person apology to show good faith. I apologized and I said I won't do it again. So then when you came back over at the end of the show, he was the usual jovial Scott Griscolo. So
that's good. I wondered what had happened. He looked like somebody had definitely stepped on his lunch.
Yeah, he was so excited to see you too, and I shit all over it. So I felt awful. It was a good it was a funny picture, but I felt bad.
What a good crew of guys. Like I could see why all you guys hang out. Because you guys all kind of, you know, you remind me of a crew that would hang out together, and you turn out such good work, and there's such a good vibe and such amazing creativity amongst all you guys on the site that it just all seems to work together. So it's great seeing everybody together in one collective place to go, aha, now I know why.
It's really fun. I mean, it's fun going to the shows like the Rumble and everything, but it's almost become the meetups and the hanging out and the camaraderie is like the best part of the weekend, like all staying at the hotel together and getting up and going to breakfast and going to the bar. You know, like all that's become like the highlight to me of all these things is getting to hang out. And I love that there's always ROH in the mix. So, you know, it's kind of the chance we get to see you and talk to you. So it's like, it just becomes such a great weekend trip overall, more than just going to the Royal Rumble. You know what I mean?
Where do you think next year's Royal Rumble will be?
I think they're going to take a break from this area. Like they were at Pittsburgh, Philly back to back. So I wouldn't be shocked if it's like in Florida or something.
Because next year's Mania is in Dallas.
Right.
So
maybe they go West Coast then? Maybe it's back in Cali?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope not.
Well, SummerSlam's nearby. Well, now it's probably going to be in stupid Newark, but it's supposed to be at the Meadowlands.
They can't do SummerSlam in Newark.
I'm hoping for Brooklyn or something crazy like their
Red
Bull
Stadium. That building's not big enough.
Well, that's where it's going to be, probably. It was supposed to be at the Meadowlands in Izod.
I know, yeah, and they're bulldozing it.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
So,
well, it's a...
And you guys are in Philly, right? Isn't that the weekend you're back? Is that the Rumble, or no? Is it a couple weeks before?
I think so.
It sounded like it was the same.
I got to look at the calendar. I think it's the same. I think we should look to run... I know we're running March 1st in Las Vegas for the pay-per-view.
Yep.
Which is going to be exciting. I think wrestling should try to get anywhere near, if they do the boxing with Pacquiao,
yes,
and money.
Yep.
I think wrestling promoters would be stupid to not try to find some venue to run close by.
Right.
That weekend. Because there's going to be, and why they're not doing it at like Cowboy Stadium, I don't know. Because they could put 120,000 in there and they'll sell 2 million pay-per-views
mm-hmm.
and make it the biggest thing ever.
They should have it at the Rhode Island Convention Center.
Rhode Island at the Dunk. That's my, you know, that was my second guess, but you know, WrestleMania is right around the corner, mm-hmm. And the card released as we record this on a Wednesday night, just really beginning to be released now. Let's go through it match by match, and how do you want to gauge this?
All right, so this is from Dave Meltzer, so it's not the official card. This is what he's hearing right now, and he was pretty spot on last year with his predictions, so from what he was hearing. So, you know, the company's in a weird spot right now. People are pissed off, but on the flip side, Raw did great ratings, and they announced that the subscribers are over 1 million. So who the fuck knows what to believe, but here's what the card is. You tell me if this is a card worthy of, you know, a chance to rebuild good faith with fans. Is it a card that's going to capture the imagination coming off of a hot, hot WrestleMania, WrestleMania 30?
Okay.
So, per Meltzer, we have Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns on top for the world title.
Okay.
We have Triple H and Sting. And he says these matches are locked in stone. John Cena versus Rusev is planned.
Saw that.
Bray Wyatt is heavily protected and being built up so strong because he's going to be facing The Undertaker. Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins. And that meant Daniel Bryan was not even figured into these top five matches. And there was flat out no chance Bryan would be added to make it a three-way because he felt like they already did that last year. So on Twitter over the last couple of days, Dolph Ziggler and Bryan have been chirping back and forth about having a match to steal the show. And Meltzer says that's not fooling around, but that's kind of the actual plan right now. So let them be happy. They can have their shot at stealing the show. They'll get some time and maybe shut the fans up a little bit of them. And then Meltzer thinks you'll get a Battle Royal, a Divas match, and a tag title or something else to fill things out. So those six matches, let's call those the top six. What do you think?
I like five of them. Guess which one I don't like?
Cena Rusev, and that's because you hate Rusev.
Yeah.
So you like Taker Bray? Can we talk about that for a sec?
Well, all right. I think that's an amazing match.
But you're not beating Taker again, so what's the point now? You're building Bray Wyatt up, you're having him go over everyone. And you're going to job him to cripple retiring Undertaker?
I don't want to see The Undertaker in the ring anymore.
No, me neither. He should be
I've
done.
I've been saying this for like 3 years.
And I don't think he's a draw anymore. Like, I don't think you're drawing based on his name right now.
I don't think so either. I certainly am not interested in a Wyatt family feud.
No.
I'm hot on Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
I really like the main event because that's what it is. And I really like Triple H versus Sting because that's what they started when Sting debuted at Survivor Series.
Right.
So it makes sense. I'm not jumping up and down about Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins.
I kind of am because they laid a lot of groundwork for that in December too, with the Authority busting up and Orton getting kicked out and snapping and RKOing everyone. And I think they could have a really good match. Orton was really, really hot towards the end of the year. So I think that'll be a good match.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good match. But Cena Rusev does nothing for me.
Well, that's because you hate Rusev, though.
Yes, and Cena's a clod.
Well, so they're fighting at Fastlane. So I'm guessing we're going to get some kind of schmatzy schmaz, and that'll set up Mania.
You're sounding, you got kind of that robot-y voice thing going on. So what was that you said?
They're fighting at Fastlane in February, Cena Rusev. So we're probably going to get some kind of schmatz to set up Mania.
I would want to see, Lana, you know, in a cage above the ring. No, they're not going to do that. Anyway, that sounds good. Those Diva matches do nothing for me.
I don't even know who it's going to be. I mean, unless you just do a multi. Is Charlotte maybe going to make her Mania debut? I don't know. You got Paige, who's been pretty good. You get the Bellas as well. I don't know. There's a lot of ways to go. Is AJ going to be back? She's hurt.
Yeah, I want to see Sasha Banks.
Yeah, they got a lot going on. I think Sasha and Charlotte.
She's a New England girl. She's a New England girl, by the way.
I think they show up after Mania like Paige and Emma did last year. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, that's fair. And the tag ranks, just that match on the pre-show was just mind-bogglingly bad. Not from the athletic standpoint, but just from the positioning and the way the fans don't care. And, you know, what WWE says is bad, the fans say good. And what WWE says is good, the fans say bad. New Day versus Cesaro.
You don't like Cesaro and Kid?
I love them. They're great.
Did you hear what they're calling themselves?
No.
The Brass Ring Club.
Stupid.
Why? They're making fun of the Brass Ring thing.
Hate it. It's Job Squad 2015.
Probably.
Come on.
But
anyway,
I think they could be set up for a really cool four-way match at Mania. I mean, I think the best option would be Usos versus them, versus Kidd and Cesaro. I don't know what if they'll do that straight up, but...
You didn't mention Dean Ambrose in the top six matches, did you?
No, because you know where he's going to be. He's going to be in that Battle Royal, I guarantee you.
Job City.
Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Well, Cesaro looked good coming out of it last year.
By the way, I heard he's given the finish to Renee Young now. What do you think about that?
He is. That's been a rumor for a while.
Yeah.
It's good for him.
All right, okay.
So anyway, the tag match I was saying is four-way. Usos, Ascension, who they got to want on the card, Kidd and Cesaro, and the Dudleys. I think that's their match right there they should do.
I'd watch that.
And you have the Dudleys go in the Hall of Fame. And then maybe something with Miz and Mizdow, probably on the pre-show. Maybe that's where they explode, or maybe have them both in the Battle Royal. Mizdow's pretty cool, you got to admit that.
I do. I think it's great. There were so many moments where, okay, we know in the Royal Rumble, we meaning WWE, I'm them for a second. We know we're going to piss them off with Daniel Bryan. We know they're going to hate us. Let's do something that they'll like. Let's give them Mizdow.
Yeah.
Not to win, but to
wrestle, which we haven't seen much of.
But to be a difference maker and to finally, you know, yeah, we're jumping the gun. But, boy, I think this is going to be one where the crowd, you know, really takes a hot steamer on us. We've got to be prepared for that. So they didn't do it. So it was all these moments that could have been moments that weren't moments because they chose not to go there. And all the eliminations were lackluster. Excuse me. And what you had was what you had. I think Mania is going to be fine. I'm going up to my buddy Eddie's house to watch it. It'll be a party. It'll be a fun time.
You also have Kane and Big Show, by the way, if they want to use them somehow. Would you just do Kane Taker in a retirement match for both? Like, I mean, no one's going to want to watch it, but at least it gets them both out of the way.
Kane Taker retirement match, and it's a double count out. How about that?
Well, no, not even a retirement match. You say it's both their last matches. You say, you know, whatever. The Authority fires
Kane. Well, then
you've
got to have them. You've got to put them together.
As a team?
Yeah.
What if you do that, then? What if Kane turns on the Authority and brings in Undertaker and they fight Big Show and whatever, someone else?
I thought maybe they were starting that with what happened with him and Big Show kind of exploding. And we've seen that before. There's no friends. You know, you can't, you know, every man for himself in the Royal Rumble type of thing. And Kane's had some moments over the last few months where you've looked at him and said, man, it's time to grow a set and stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
But Kane Taker versus Big Show...
And what you can even throw freaking J&J Secure, whatever, make it 3-on-2 if you want.
That'd be great.
There you go.
With Mercury and Noble against Mercury, Noble, and Big Show against Kane and Taker. Are you kidding me?
There's your match right there. Let them bump around.
Book it.
And Taker and Kane hang it up after the match. That's their final win. They go out together as winners.
Locker room.
Put the mask
sellout
on Kane for one last time.
Yep. That's it. We bring back the Brothers of Destruction.
And they're done. Call it a day.
That's
what I would do. And then you put Wyatt with somebody else. Let him have a match and win.
And if they really want to, there's a lot of things you could do. But anyway, the last time, and I always said this, like, why did Kane and Taker have such a short run? And I might have talked about this on you and Scott's show. There wasn't anybody that could beat them.
Yeah.
And it was almost unfair because they were so much bigger than every other team. And I can't think of another time up until now with Brock as the world heavyweight champion to where you have somebody who is so completely dominant that it's hard for them to lose. And that was the case with Kane and Taker.
Yep.
Was they would have held the tag team titles forever. They would still be tag team champions today. No one would beat them, but they've had to find a way to beat them and break them up because they were just too damn good. So I like the way that Mania is shaping up on paper. What's your percentage rock on the show? Yes or no?
Well, we can track this over the months as we get closer. As of right now, I will say, I'm going to say yes, even though I think he's mad. I think he'll do anything for his family. And I think they're going to want to try have him involved somehow with Reigns to make it work. Right. And I don't think, even though he's mad at Vince, I think he knows it would potentially help Reigns. I think he would do it.
Okay. So that's the big event coming up in March, but the big event on the 1st of February is the big game. Are we allowed to say the words?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, Super Bowl? Because you get sued, apparently, if you say it. Anyway, so Super Bowl Sunday, coming up, and it's time for our picks. I think I know which way you're leaning,
no,
JR. So
I'm actually
go right
not,
ahead.
I'm abstaining.
What?
Yep.
How could you abstain? It's just picking a game.
Because I'm abstaining. Because if I pick the Patriots, I don't really believe it. And if I pick against the Patriots, I don't want to jinx anything. So I'm laying out.
I thought you were a Jets fan.
I am, but I hate the Patriots. Bunch of cheaters.
So what's the problem?
Because if I sit here and say the Seahawks are going to win, then I'm going to be sitting there on Sunday and the Pats are going to be up 30 and I'm going to be punching a hole in the wall and I'm going to deal with all the crap around here.
Well, you're going to be dealing with a bunch of crap anyway.
Yeah, so I know, but it feels even worse.
So do you think it's going to be a Seattle win?
I think it's going to be a good game.
I think I was so surprised. I was so surprised at how the Green Bay-Seattle game went that I think anything is possible. I had a feeling that the Colts game, as a lot of people did, was going to get ugly.
But I feel like that's the worst game the Seahawks have played in a long time, and they still pulled it out.
That said, I don't remember everybody turning handsprings about Seattle last year going to the Super Bowl, and they beat Denver 43-8.
Right, and I mean, I know the Pats stomped the Colts, but I don't think the Colts are very good. The Pats struggled mightily with Baltimore, which is a closer team to Seattle than Indy.
Yeah. I think, again, I think Seattle wins. I think they cover, and I would...
Well, they're underdogs, so they'll cover if they win.
Underdogs?
Pats minus one.
Oh, I had seen Seattle plus one. Okay, so anyway, Seattle minus one. Either way, I had seen it as much as three. Isn't that funny?
Last I saw is Pats minus one. We could do no gambling on the show, though.
No, of course not. And I think that it's going to be a fun game. Katy Perry, what will the critics say about Katy Perry on Monday after the Super Bowl?
She's got big old boobs.
Look at them hooter. The Super Bowl is a great event. It's a lot of fun. We'll have a good time, we hope you will as well.
Yeah, we'll
any preference of a guest for 2 weeks from now, JR?
We have one already.
Wait, who's our guest in 2 weeks?
Be Brian Blair of the Killer Bees.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah, we scheduled that one a while ago, so I got to follow up with him.
Brian Blair, of course, the president of the Cauliflower Alley Club.
Yeah, he's going to talk about that event and everything he's got going on there. So,
yep, one of the Killer Bees will be here. We'll talk about his great career. We'll talk about what's going on with the Cauliflower Alley Club and what's going on in politics and more. Great guy.
Humbling interview.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun time. All right, so that's it. Enjoy the big game, everybody. And tell your friends and neighbors to tune in every episode of the Kevin Kelly Show, because it's always a lot of fun. It's always a free ride, and we want you to enjoy it. Take it for what it's worth. For Justin Rosero, I'm Kevin Kelly. We'll see you in a couple of weeks with B. Brian Blair, maybe, as our guest, here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com.
I'll tell you what team I'm picking, Kev. I'm picking the winner. Woo! Wake up to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had the strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was like obsessed with. Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing
Wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.